The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
By tomorrow, I will rule the world!
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
New start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Welcome, you've got mail.
Well, I must have not been paying attention when you were just talking to me. Do you think that you could repeat the question? And I listen more attentively. There must have been something in all of that nothing that wasn't quite so easy.
The 25 to 30 years of administration that we've had in this city that has only represented one district in this city. I'll say it.
Say it.
It'll be reported tomorrow. Tommy's going to report it.
You bet. Say it.
I'll tell you, Tommy's got a lot of balls to be in here tonight.
Everybody now.
La la la.
All right, let's get this show on the road. 978-454-4980. What a show we have for you today. We are missing about 9/10 of our audience. They're all at a debate today. So for the five people that are left, we will be broadcasting a three-hour show this afternoon. For the, all right, maybe three people that are left. Two of them are actually in the studio. So for the one guy out there left listening, the Mount Vernon Neighborhood Association, if you are interested, though, you know, I don't understand how this happens every single year now, that the Mount Vernon Neighborhood Association schedules their debate during my show. And I'm sure you're saying, well, yeah, but it's not like they can, you know, cater everything toward you. They're my parents. You would think my parents would at least do something to try to accommodate so I could be there. No, no, not really, no. And when I asked my parents about 6 or 7 months, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I said, geez, if you're going to have a Mount Vernon Neighborhood debate, you really ought to have a guy like me there to ask the questions, because I'll be able to ask, like, you know, the real questions. I'll ask questions people actually want answers to. None of this, how do you feel about public safety? Yeah, you won't get any of that when Tom Duggan's moderating a debate, that's for sure. And the answer I got was, oh, you're very controversial. Oh, I don't know. How's that working out for you, by the way, that whole Dahlia thing? Just wondering. 978-454-4980 is the phone number here in the Paying Attention Radio program. I will be trying to get the audio or the video or both, hopefully by the end of the weekend, so we can podcast that on the Valley Patriot website, if I'm not too controversial. We don't know if Dave Abdu and Willard Antigua, the chief, are going to go face-to-face today at the Mount Vernon Neighborhood Association debate at the Frost School. I'm pretty sure, though, Willie is not showing up. Although, if he was going to show up, and I was telling the Abdu people this yesterday, Dave ought to be prepared for, yeah, you're up. Dave ought to be prepared for Willie showing up. He ought to have questions and answers ready in case Willie Lantigua, the chief, shows up today. Because Mount Vernon is the heart of Dave's base. Nobody is expecting Willie to show up. And that's usually when Willie shows up. That's usually when Willie says, this is the one time everybody 100% are expecting me not to show up. Now is when I'm going to show up. Because that's how he throws you off base. So I don't know if he's going to be there, if he's not going to be there. Hopefully someone there will text us during the program to let us know, maybe even call us to give us a little bit of an update on what's happening.
Well, I hate to say it, but I guess the only question left is, will he or won't he?
Oh, God, I really, truly hope he loses, just because I don't want to hear that for 4 years. I really do. Every budget discussion, Paul will be whipping that out. Every controversy, Paul will
pocket.
Be. Yep, it'll be right there. Oh, my goodness.
So how you doing this morning?
Paul Morano in the studio. Our good friend Oki is in the studio.
How are you today?
And it's really kind of odd to have him here today because he is the anti-Dick Howe. He's the caller that used to call in every single week when Dick Howe was here and just completely harangue and harass Dick Howe.
How's that working for Dick?
I got to tell you, very little makes me uncomfortable. But when you used to call and go after Dick, I used to be so uncomfortable, which makes for great radio when you listen later on. And I used to, as soon as I knew you were on the line, I'd look up and see if Dick, oh yeah, Dick is here, oh no. I just have no idea how this is going to turn out, but it will be entertaining.
It always is.
Yeah, it usually is. So he's here to talk a little bit about some of the city council races, the mayor's races.
Maybe Dick will call in this morning now that
Oh, that would be
Oki's
so
here.
Funny if Dick called in and said, is Bob Okunowski there? He's not. A click. Click.
Where's
not
Dick?
Interested. Uh-huh. Where's Dick? I don't know what happened to Dick. I think Dick got too much baloney from his liberal friends that he was on my show, that we weren't making him look good or look liberal or something like that. So he just decided he was going to be like citizen journalist and do the internet thing and stop coming in on my show.
Well, it could also be one of those situations where he's got the type of job where people really don't care what your opinion is, and then once you start expressing it, they say, what the hell is he doing in that job?
Well, that could be. That could be. I'm gonna defer to you because you know a lot more about that kind of stuff on the inside than I do. One thing that I recognize is that there are certain things I'm not good at, so I rely on people who are. So, Bob Okunowski's been a good friend for... You'd never throw me under the bus for a chick, would you?
Never.
Never? All right. Then I know you I can trust.
Wait, what kind of question is that? Where did that come from?
It was just
that's a 10:15 in the Saturday morning question.
Is that like the litmus test?
Yes.
I see.
Yep.
Okay, so if...
You so got that. And you know what? If only you knew how funny it was that you said that. If only you knew, like, how funny that is.
Okay.
Guy standards.
Yes. Guy standards. Okay, yes. So if you will not throw someone under the bus for a chick, then you're a good friend.
Yes, that means you are someone who is completely loyal and somebody that you can tell anything
that's
to.
That's the standard. Okay.
That is the standard.
I'm writing this
now,
down.
Now, quite frankly, me, you can't trust me for anything at all.
Okay.
No, it's not a two-way street when it comes to me.
We can trust you to have a good time.
Yes, that's correct, and really not much else.
It's intelligent conversation.
Intelligent conversation.
Sometimes.
It's a temporary kind of trust.
Now, why weren't you? Why Bob Okunowski from the Lawrence? You're on the planning board, zoning board. What are you on?
I was on the zoning board.
You were on the and you left, didn't you?
I left the zoning
board. Amid scandal.
No,
was that the one with the midgets and the trampolines? What was
not
that scandal?
This time. That was
no.
For the
All
LRA.
Right. Oh, all right.
Midgets and trampolines.
That was years
man.
Ago.
I'm going to try really hard not to laugh throughout this entire program.
Midgets
at 11 o'clock, guys, we have the Central District candidates for City Council in Methuen. And I know, like, the Lawrence people who are listening just went, oh, no, Methuen. Oh, well, now you know how people feel when they expect to hear about Methuen or Haverhill or Lowell, and we just talk about Lawrence all day. So suck it up. If you're a Lawrence listener, you ought to know what's going on in Methuen. After all, the guy who might be the next mayor of Lawrence doesn't campaign or debate in Lawrence. He campaigns and debates, or at least takes the microphone, in Methuen. So obviously there's some kind of crossover going on, right? Paul, did you follow this story? Did you catch any of this?
I saw that, yeah.
You did? Wow. Little surprise this week.
Well, they're relatively good friends, right, according to Mr. Manzi?
Yeah, they're good flings.
Well, maybe they follow the Tommy Duggan level of friendship.
And, maybe that's
there
it.
There was no throwing under the bus.
Right, no, yeah, no throwing a guy under the bus for a check.
I think, yeah, didn't they say that publicly, or wasn't that the...
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. He's my fling because he would never, ever throw me under the bus for a woman, ever. Ever, ever, ever. 978-454. And by the way, I don't mind being bad cop as long as someone tells me I'm being bad. Like, if someone says to me, Tom, I'm sorry, I got to throw you under the bus for something, but it's for a really good cause. Then I'd be like, all right, you know what? I'll play bad cop. I don't care. People already hate me anyway, especially women. So what does it matter?
You could also have a situation where you have residents of Methuen coming into Lawrence.
To vote.
To that day to vote.
Right. Well, I'm pretty sure that there are.
Just reaching out to some of his... constituents.
Well, it could be.
Well, that's not supposed to happen, is it?
No, it's really not supposed to happen. But this is Lawrence. This is Lawrence.
I love when there's 350 cities and towns.
Yeah.
And then there's Lawrence.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Okay. I love when Warren Shaw ends his show with, if you think Lowell's bad, just remember we're not Lawrence. I got news for you people in Lowell. I've been paying attention to what's going on in Lowell. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You might not have all of the problems that Lawrence has, but Lawrence doesn't have all the problems Lowell has. And I've seen quite a few characters in Lowell over the last few years, and the apathy in Lowell might not be as bad as Lawrence. But there's an awful lot going on in Lowell that certainly puts you guys on par, I'll tell you that. 9784. I just figure I'll try and make everybody right, as angry as I possibly can.
Don't give me any details.
I'm
just
trying
that
to
out.
Turn everybody off as much as I possibly can go. Today. All right, so what should we get to? We've got Lawrence election stuff. We've got the Willie Lantigua, Bill Manzi thing. Who's ever got a cell phone, please turn it off. We got the Billy Manzi thing. Like five people reached for their pockets. Did you see that? Wasn't that unbelievable, Timmy? As soon as I said that.
It's amazing how you could see through the radio like that.
Unbelievable. 9784 5. All right, I'm going to take a deep breath. You want to what? Yeah, let's take a quick break. Timmy says we have to take a break. We killed effectively 20 minutes of the show, which was a complete waste, but it allowed me to get stuff off my chest, and now we can talk about serious stuff. The Central District Council is in Methuen. You've got Phil Leahy, former council president. You've got Jack Cronin, who has been really quite the controversy over the years, though not the last few. And then we've got Fadi Shaheen, whose fundraiser I went to last week, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Somebody surprising in the room that day. Very surprising in the room that day. And we'll talk about that. 978-454-4980. If you are at the Mount Vernon Neighborhood Debate and you snuck out to see what we're talking about, give us a call. Let us know what's going on. Did Willie show up? Is anybody talking about Wilfredo LaBoy? Is anybody making Wilfredo LaBoy an issue in this campaign except, you know, by attacking Peter LaRocque? I mean, like in the mayor's race and the council race and any of these other races. Is anybody doing that? Anybody connecting Willie Lantigua and Wilfredo LaBoy? It's going to be interesting to see if they can do that, if they can do it effectively. I think if Dave Abdu doesn't say Wilfredo LaBoy 100 times a day from now to the election, he loses. And that's just my prediction. 978-454-4980. Take a quick breath. Have some coffee. Be back after this.
Well, I'm a big fan of Representative Tarisi. I want you to know. He's doing a great job. He's
Hey, Paula.
Well, you know what? If he's so responsive, I just want you to know that 4 years ago when he ran, he said he was going to repair the stadium and take care of the stadium. So I think that kind of speaks for itself. And that's what his platform was that he ran on.
You're listening to the Paying Attention Radio program.
This is Israel Reyes, and you are listening to the Paying Attention Radio program.
Figured we'd play a little something for Israel Reyes. This is Israel Reyes. 978-454-4980 is the phone number. Israel Reyes. No, it wasn't Israel Reyes, right? Right? He's not running for mayor. He lost, right? Oh, Patrick Blint. No, he's not. He's Nilka Alvarez, the mayoral. No, she's not. It's
All right, there we go.
Si, senor.
So I asked Bob Okunowski to come in. I wanted to pick your brain a little bit. I'm going to talk about the Billy Manzi thing. Maybe we'll tease it this hour, and then after the debate, we'll talk about it. But if we have time, we'll do it before the end of this hour. It just all depends on how much time we can. So, Bob Okunowski, affectionately we call him Oki, has been very involved in campaigns and candidates for the last, at least, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, right?
Absolutely.
Is that accurate? Okay. Yeah. And you were Marcos Devers' I'm sorry. I promised myself I was going to try not to laugh through this whole show.
Thanks a lot.
You were Marcos Devers' campaign manager, right?
4 years ago.
Okay, now Marcos Devers, when you were running Marcos Devers' campaign, he really hated Willie back then.
And if you remember, Willie latched on to Matos, Carlos Matos.
Right, that's correct.
As a way to really get at Marcos, Bloody Marcos up for the Sullivan-Marcos final.
Yep.
So as soon as...
how'd that work out for Marcos?
As soon as Willie tossed aside Matos, Willie went with, I think, the Republican. Michael Sullivan. And it's funny now, I think Willie at the time was an independent. Now Willie is a hardcore Democrat. And all the people behind Willie, all of a sudden he's the super Democrat, I guess.
Yeah,
but at the time, he was a strong supporter of the Republican Michael Sullivan.
Mike Sullivan. And yeah. During the Toomey thing, they walked hand in hand. During the LaBoy thing, they walked hand in hand. You know, it's interesting now that his surrogates are running around saying Dave Abdu's the Sullivan clone, when as you look at the history, and this is not an attack on Willie, it's just what it is.
No, not at all. It is what it is.
Right.
You know, go back and look at the facts.
You look at the facts, and it was Willie who walked with Mike Sullivan hand in hand on the political stuff. And now Willie, who won't do a debate, won't speak publicly, has not called for Wilfredo LaBoy to be fired, has not called for Wilfredo LaBoy to resign, has not answered any questions about the school department scandal, has not spoken at all on the school department scandal, and is surrounding himself with all pro-LaBoy people. Israel Reyes, Patrick Blanchett, Nilka Alvarez, right down the line. Right down the line.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And... you know, as you and I talked before the election, one of the things that we talked about is that Willie doesn't need to do anything out publicly. He has a style of campaigning that is effective for him, and it's been very effective for him over the years. And he's, you know, his style of running for office and his style of holding office as a state representative works for him very well, and he does a very good job for the community as a state representative. But in terms of now being an administrator, a manager, if you will, of a city that has a $300 million-plus budget, it's important for people to know whether they're Anglo, Latino, Vietnamese. They need to know where their future leaders are going to be on certain issues. How are they going to manage? Who are the department heads you're going to keep? Who are the department heads you want to fire? How are you going to grapple with taxes, spending? How are you going to grapple with a shrinking dollar pie, if you will, and more services being needed by the city? And these are the types of questions that Latinos, educated, middle-class Latinos throughout the city are asking as well. They're just because Willie happens to be a Latino candidate doesn't mean he's going to have the Latino voter in lockstep. There are a number of individuals in the city who have an investment in the city. They're homeowners. If you look at the demographics, it's 75% Latino. If you look at the voting numbers, it's 60-40 Latino to Anglo. When you look at the actual voters themselves, it's about 52-53% Latino. So there's an emerging Latino base, if you will, that has an economic investment in this community. And to just run for mayor and not have any type of presence in Anglo world, any type of presence in the world that's beyond your base, leaves a lot to be desired as we move forward. And when you look at the potential of what can happen out there, you know, just go down the races. You could have if you have Latinos running as a slate. Let's say you have a Nestor De Jesus, you have a Danny Rivera, you have a Frank Moran running as a slate, and the word is that's out there
is
vote Latino, and they are running as a slate. Then you have the potential of having three at-large Latino candidates.
Which in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing.
Not at
all.
It's
because I actually like all three of those candidates.
It doesn't matter whether Latino, Anglo, whatever, but at least those individuals are out there articulating what they foresee their job as city councilors. When you look at some of the other district races, though, that's been lacking. You really haven't had some of the dialogue that needs to be done. When you look at my district, District A, I would submit to you that there are a lot of voters who don't know anything about Sandy Almonte Rosado or Joe Armato.
She wants to be called Sandy Almonte, though, I think.
Okay, well, on the city school committee website, it's Sandy Almonte Rosado.
Okay,
so whatever she wants to be called.
But Sandy Almonte.
That's fine.
I think she just doesn't want to confuse
whatever.
People.
The point is,
I, like sticker, by the way.
I think a lot of people don't understand where these candidates may be coming from. You know, just talking with neighbors, they don't know anything about them. They haven't received any literature. They haven't seen any door-to-door. They haven't seen anything in the newspapers. So there's you go to B between Grizel Silva and Ruth Rojas. In a lot of ways, there's been the stealth candidacy of the two of them. I think Griselle's kind of trying to lay low. She realizes that she did not get a plurality on the primary day.
That if Griselle Silva, who always acting of professionalism.
You know, if Ruth Rojas is able to accumulate the votes of all those who ran against Griselle Silva, you know, Ruth Rojas has the potential being the next city councilor in District B.
Now, what are the chances, legitimately, that on the day after the election, Griselle Silva is gone, Nick Kalofalos is gone, Jorge Gonzalez is gone. Three incumbents that are all in trouble. Two are Latino, one is Anglo, but they're all in trouble. What are the chances that all three of them are just gone?
Very good. My personal feeling, you and I had talked about this before the preliminary. The day that Aquino brought 300 people to City Hall for a licensing board meeting for her particular license situation, the last time you had that many people in City Hall was when Modesta Maldonado ginned up a lot of the community over the water and sewer rate hikes. And, you know, he's been very successful in his race against George Gonzalez. But Aquino was able to bring 300 people into City Hall on a licensing board meeting.
Right.
And Nick Kalofalos, I don't think, can bring three. If you gave Nick a year, I don't think Nick would be able to gin up 300 people to bring to anything.
Right.
And so she's been able to generate an enthusiasm for her candidacy in that district, and I don't think Nick can recover from it. So I would say that, based on the work she's been doing, based on what she's been able to generate within the Latino community in District D, she is right now the hands-on favorite to be the next city councilor there.
Now, my assessment has been and is, and I wrote this in my notebook, and it's gotten me in a lot of trouble with the Nick Kalofalos people, is that because Nick Kalofalos refuses to help Dave Abdu, which, if he had done that, would gin up the Anglo voters up on the Hill and would give him a better chance of winning, because he refuses to do that, and we know why, it's the Patrick connection and all that stuff. But if he did do that, if he were to change his mind tomorrow and say, I'm telling all my supporters to vote for Dave, and when I'm going door-to-door, if people ask me, I'm going to tell them that I'm with Dave, does that push him at least near the finish line? Does that put him in the running, or is it just completely over for Nick?
I think it really is over for Nick, because you can't change your stripes halfway through a race like that. And she's done a very good job organizing certain elements of the neighborhoods for her candidacy, and it's been a very positive candidacy. Nick has made it clear from day one that he's not an Abdu person, that he's not going that route. And for him to then all of a sudden embrace David Abdu simply to try to hold on as city councilor, I think would be a mistake for him. Because you have to separate the two. Dave Abdu has been doing a lot of work on the north side of the river within the Latino community, because he recognizes that there's a lot of Latinos and Anglos on the north side of the river who are crying out for professional, organized leadership to address our problems. And so he's been over there meeting with Dominicans, meeting with Puerto Ricans, meeting with all elements of the community, neighborhood groups and the such. And for Nick to all of a sudden personalize it, Abdu versus Lantigua, doesn't necessarily get him anything come the end of the day, because Nick's problem is Nick, quite frankly. And when you're in office for a long period of time, you have a strong chance of alienating a lot of people. And I don't think by what he grabs as a mayoral candidacy is going to help him to that degree.
I just respectfully disagree, and we have to take a phone call, but I respectfully disagree. And you are, I'm going to say right out of the gate, you are usually way more right than I am on this stuff. But I think that if he were to start at least not bad-mouthing Dave, at least not telling people he's going to leave it blank, if he were to start at least telling people he's voting for Dave, there's a lot of Abdu people up on the Hill who were about to vote for Nick Kalofalos, who said, yeah, Nick's our guy, and are now leaving it blank because Nick is not involved. He's not ginning up his base. He's not supporting Dave. He's not going the way they want him to go. Let's face it, the Lantigua people are voting for Aquino. We know that. I'm sure there might be five people that'll be an exception, but other than that, most of the Lantigua votes are going for Aquino because they're going to vote Latino. So I really think if Nick did step forward a little bit, I think it pushes him closer to the finish line. And then who knows what happens, you know, a week before the election, one headline can change everything.
And I would just simply submit to you that if you go through all the districts, A through F, just look at the large number of blanks in the council races. So so clearly there's an enthusiasm out there for the mayor's race. You know, between 10 candidates, you had a large amount of enthusiasm for people going to the polls for their particular candidate. I think moving forward, you have you have the Abdu people, you have the Lantigua people, you have the Latino, pro-Latino people, you have people who are just looking for a change from Michael Sullivan's 8 years and moving in a different direction, whether it's Abdu. So you have a lot of people focused on the mayor's race. When you get down to the council race, it really now then becomes the personalities of the candidates. And people know Nick. You either like him or you don't. I happen to like the guy. He does his job well. But at the same time,
not politically smart.
He tends not to be politically smart. You know, but he, as a constituent service guy, he's out there morning, noon, and night, answering the phone calls.
He's thwarting robberies in bodegas in Spanish Latino neighborhoods. I mean, can you give me a break?
And who amongst us, doesn't respect that?
Right.
You know, that's a great thing that he did. So from a constituent point of view, he does a great job for his district. From a political point of view, the public...
It's a disaster.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it is.
All right, I don't know if you can recover from that.
978. I know I want to get Paul in. He's been awfully quiet. 978-454-4980. Let's take whoever's holding on the longest. Appreciate your wait on the Paying Attention Radio program. You're on the air. Yes, hello, yes.
Hi, Tom.
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I got two issues. Yesterday, I got a phone message when I got home. I live in South Lawrence. I got a phone message. The entire message is in Spanish, and at the end of the thing, I hear Willie Lantigua. So my wife calls the number back. She says, I just got a message in Spanish. I don't know what it was about. It wasn't even in English. It wasn't like both English and Spanish. It was all Spanish. She says, I had no idea what they said. She says, do me a favor. Take me off your call list. So then I call up. I said, listen, I get a message here, and I can't decide. I called my cell phone just as another call. I said, I can't believe you left a message. I said, what does this pertain to? I said, oh, it must have been the wrong number. I said, well, excuse me, but isn't he running for mayor? She said, yes. Oh, he said, maybe that's what it was for. I said, well, I would think so. I said, well, doesn't he have the intelligence? Leave it in English so that I might consider him for, to elect me. And he said, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, you know what? I said, I was going to vote for him. I had serious thoughts about, Abdul. Maybe I was going to vote for him. But I would like you to inform him that I've changed my mind altogether because of this call. I said, and number two, isn't he a state representative for the state of Massachusetts on my tax dollars? He says, yes. He says, and he still doesn't have the intelligence to leave it in English. I said, so case closed on this one. I said, I'm not voting for him, so bang, I hung up.
Caller, can I ask you a personal question? Do you have a Spanish last name?
No.
So this wasn't something that was targeted to Latino last names?
I have an Irish last name.
Say that again?
I have an Irish last name.
All right. So this wasn't something where they were the Lantigua supporters were targeting Latino names with Spanish calls, and you just happened to not speak Spanish with a Latino last name. You got an Irish last name, and they were targeting you.
Well, so does Frank Moran.
I mean, it's just like the birthday card he sends out to every citizen in Lawrence. Everybody gets a birthday card in the citizens of Lawrence, no matter who you are. My wife said, oh, shit, I got a birthday card in September from Willie Lantigua. And my mother got one, too. He sends every citizen in Lawrence a birthday card, birthday wish.
Yep.
I never got a birthday card.
Well, not every citizen in Lawrence, just the ones in his district that can vote for him.
Right. And number two, what do you think of the firemen still getting paid, the 10 firemen that were laid off getting paid?
Yeah, isn't that unbelievable? We got 10 firefighters who were laid off, and because of, excuse me, explain to people why that is. Explain to people how that happened.
It's something to do with the civil service issue or something like that. I don't know the real reason, but there's some sort of legal issue or something like that. I guess Mark was supposed to do something, and he neglected to do it, or something didn't happen. We didn't have the money to do it, or something like that. And they're paying. These guys want to get back to work.
Yeah, and we want them back to work. Exactly. And if we're paying them, they ought to be working.
Right, you're right. Well,
all right,
for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Bri. 978-454-4980 is the number.
But but if you take that issue alone, the fire issue.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that's been lacking in that whole discussion is just what is the need of the city for personnel numbers? What is the need for the city for station houses? And we kind of glossed over that issue. There was never any discussion of what exactly is the need in the city for numbers and houses. It's always about, well, we're losing 10 firemen, or we're losing 12 firemen, or we've got these positions we haven't been able to fill. There's never the discussion, well, do we need them? It's just that we're losing them.
Right.
And when you look at the two station houses that were closed down recently, that debate never occurred. You know, everyone's focused on, well, not everyone. There are people who are focused on, like Joe Romano has said that he thinks the station houses have been should be opened up in Prospect Hill. And I think Sandy Almonte has said that it's not a big issue for her. There's a number of residents who feel the same way, that we're not losing anything, because you can still – you put a red light on your car, Tommy, your Jeep, you can get anywhere in the city in 2 minutes,
yeah,
be able to speed around. So until you have those types of discussions – you know, you really got to take these debates to another level, and that hasn't been happening in the current city hall. Everything is based on this. Well, we're losing this; it's disastrous. If you're going to bring people back, you probably should be staffing the trucks at the full level that's needed. That's what the chiefs talked about.
Right.
You know, we don't necessarily need the houses; we need the trucks staffed at a safer level and a more appropriate level, as dictated by standards.
978-454-4980. Hopefully Joe Amano is going to be calling in after 12. Hopefully Sandy Almonte will be calling in. But on the line right now, we do have a candidate. We have Maddie Brien, who's a candidate for District E City Council. I got to tell you, I'm rooting for Maddie. I know that's going to make a lot of people unhappy, but I'm rooting for him.
All right, I appreciate it very much.
Were you at the Mount Vernon neighborhood? Are you at the Mount Vernon neighborhood debate?
I couldn't go because I got called down to Buzzards Bay. My son goes to school at Tabor Academy. I have to go. I'm on my way down there to get him right now.
All right. So now you're running for District E City Council. You've got kind of an uphill battle. What are you doing to close that gap?
Well, I'm going around. I'm talking to people in the district. I'm not necessarily concentrating on Mount Vernon Street. I'm concentrating on down on the waterfront, down by the river.
Yeah,
Carlton Street area, all that area down in there.
Yep.
And it's a place that's not really taken into consideration when people run for city council up in District E. I mean, everyone's been calling it District E, Mount Vernon District for years. You know, they don't call it District E, you know. And it's a forgotten part of the district. And those are the people that I get phone calls from, you know. They're all calling me and asking me, what are you going to do? That's different. And the first, if I ever mention Mount Vernon Street, they just ignore me. I hang up the phone on me. So, you know, I understand the way they feel.
Now, you're running for District City Council. You've run once before, so you've got a little bit of experience doing this. If you were to get elected, what's your number one priority? What's the one thing you want to accomplish in your first year if you get elected?
What I would like to get accomplished is, believe it or not, is get a meal tax. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the areas surrounding Lawrence and the Merrimack Valley, you know, like Andover went through the same thing, either with a hotel tax or a meal tax, and they shot down the meal tax because Andover has the hotel rooms that they can tax. Well, Lawrence doesn't have a lot of hotel rooms, you know, but we have a lot of restaurants, and we need to generate revenue somehow. Everybody wants to cut back. Everybody wants to keep everyone employed, just like I do, especially in the public safety sector. But we got to find money. We got to pay for these people. And there's, you know, no matter how much money, you know, how much the tax may be in the food service industry, it'll be something that will help. I mean, we need to start generating revenues, finding ways to generate revenues. And we're not doing that. And every time someone brings up that word tax, everyone just, oh, we can't do that. Well, how do you want us to pay for these services? You tell me what to do then.
Let me ask you a question, Maddie. We're talking to Maddie Brien. He's a candidate for District E City Council, and I appreciate your time. What are the chances that within the next year, the next fiscal year or 2 years, that Lawrence ends up in receivership no matter what we do?
Well, until we have a serious city council, which, you know, I don't think that we have that now. I think everyone has their own private agenda. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is for District E. That's what I care about. I don't have an aspiration to run for city council at large. I don't have that to run for mayor. I don't want to run for any other position. I want to take care of District E. And that's what's being neglected. If each councilor, you know, did the best they could to take care of their own district and not have an agenda to move on from their council seat, things might go a little smoother. We might be all working together. instead of everyone, you know, it's like there's a clique of or a group of city councilors that get along with another city council, and then there's another group, and there's a lot of infighting. And you see it every day. You see it at the city council meetings. You read about it in the paper. You read about the rumors. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, we're a laughingstock.
Well, let me ask you something, Matty. If one of the things that really frosts me is when I am attending a city council meeting, when I'm watching a city council meeting, and I'm sure Bob can attest to this, and all of a sudden someone like Griselle Silva is standing up on her chair, screaming into the cameras. She's calling people out. She's acting out of, and the other eight people sit there and say absolutely nothing. Are you the kind of guy that's actually going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, this foolishness needs to stop? Or are you going to go along and get along like the rest of the eight people on this council?
Oh, no, Tommy, you know me better than that. I'm a football coach, and I coach in the semi-pro level, and I run my business and my football teams like a Marine sergeant, and I would be the same way at city council. In fact, I had a very, very spirited discussion with two city councilors last night who were like, couldn't believe the things that I was saying and how vocal I was being. I said, you know, those are the things you guys need to hear. And if you don't want to hear it, if it's too sensitive for you, then maybe you shouldn't be there.
Wow. You know? And this is why I'm rooting for Matty Brand. I mean, really. He's kind of like the male equivalent of Rita Mercer in Lowell, right? Or Jeannie Papalotto in Methuen. He just calls it the way it is. He doesn't care who gets mad at him.
No, I don't. And I went through, like I said, I went through that last time. Both city councils left pretty upset with me.
Come on, you can tell us who they were.
I'll tell you off the air. All right, okay. One of them's your favorite one, though.
Oh, excellent. Oh, we all know who that is. 978-454-4980 is the number. Now, if you get elected, we're gonna have to let you go. But if you get elected and you're sitting there at the council, there are all kinds of things coming up. The water treatment plant. They're looking for a contract, so they can get that all straightened away, the lack of testing for E. coli, the police department, the fire department, all of these things.
How about just getting the bill paid?
How do you plan, besides a restaurant tax, which you know isn't going to pass, how do you find a way to raise additional revenue?
Well, then you have to go, if you can't do it from within the city, the way the infrastructure is set up in the city, then you have to look for it on the state level. I mean, there's no other way. I mean, we'd ask for help from our state representative, which may or may not come, or maybe you're at the Senate level, but you have to find it. You've got to dig and scratch and claw. You know, every other city in town is able to find a way, but Lawrence somehow isn't. I don't understand that.
All right, Matty, listen, I really appreciate your time on this Saturday morning. I'm really sad that you're not at the Mount Vernon neighborhood meeting, because I think you could have picked up an awful lot of votes there, but it goes to show what kind of a family guy he is.
Well, my son is in need of help, so I have to pick and choose my battles.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being here.
All right, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and I'll be calling you later on today.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. 978-454-498. Paul hasn't said a word since he got in. He brought me a coffee, and then that was it. So, Paul, what's going on?
Nothing much. I'm just sitting back, all drinking right. My coffee.
Okay, thanks for
enjoying the internet. I noticed there are three gentlemen behind me. Who might these be?
Well, we have the former council president, Phil Leahy, who's a very good friend. I love Phil Leahy. He is here because he's a central district councilor in Methuen. We're going to be having a debate after the 11 o'clock news. Also, Jack Cronin, who I can just barely see over my laptop, is here. And Fadi Shaheen, who's a fundraiser I went to at the Sahara Club last week. We'll talk a little bit about that. And they're going to be doing a debate right after the news. And I've got all kinds of stuff. I've got these Manzi clips with Willie Lantigua, the chief, which hopefully maybe some of the candidates in the room will be talking about during our little debate. There's nobody online? All right, very good. So I'm not sure if you guys want to come back, or if you guys want to bail, or what you want to do for the next hour and then come back, because we are here till 1. It's a three-hour show. And we're working on a four-hour show for the week before the election, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get that.
But two quick things. Yes. You know, Matty made two excellent points. First off, you know, I made this point to Devers 4 years ago. There is a world of District D out there besides Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, especially on the Latino side, there's a whole pool of Latino voters that generally gets ignored. And
that's like in the Carltonville neighborhood, you're saying.
Well, they're even right down the street from Mount Vernon itself. If you get into the projects, you get into other parts of the city. There's right. A lot of Latino homeowners. There's a lot of Latino tenants in these triple-deckers and such that get ignored every year. And so everyone focuses on Mount Vernon as this Anglo stronghold. But when you look at the numbers, there is a large portion of the vote that just gets passed over. And if a Latino is able, or even an Anglo is able to provide some attention to them, and simply look at it as a Laurentian who's a voter, as opposed to an Anglo in Mount Vernon or a Latino in Mount Vernon. A person has the ability to tap into that pool and get some numbers out of District E that normally aren't there. Secondly, when you look at the decorum or lack of decorum on the city council, there are a number of people excited about the fact that you have the potential of a whole new council coming in and a whole new mindset and a whole new group of relationships that can develop or not develop, whether it's a professional one or it's going to be seated and rooted in personalities and petty politics and such. You know, when you get a whole new class of people coming in, when you get a whole new membership, if you will, there's a lot of potential for some positiveness. And I think people recognize that we're digging ourselves a hole that gets deeper and deeper. And as I say to my own kids, you know, when the hole gets deep enough, you got to put the shovel down. And then you really got to focus on where we're going here. And time again, you know, you hear this phrase, well, that's Lawrence. Well, the phrase that's Lawrence has to be tossed aside. And we really have to. Otherwise, you know, he's asked the question about what about the state delegation and more state money. The state delegation has done a wonderful job over the last 4 to 8, 10 years getting extra money into Lawrence.
With no accountability.
And there's no accountability. And under the current Deval Patrick administration, when you look at the writings that are flowing from DOR to the administration, they're not happy with the way this is going. So the extra money, the delegation can be, you know, we could have a member of the delegation as a speaker and the Senate president. If there's not that accountability, if there's not some sort of transparency to what's happening with the money and how are we addressing our problems, you know, you look at this council, it took them 6-7 weeks to address a $11 million hole, and there didn't really seem to be any sense of urgency on anyone's part to get that done. DOR is not stupid. They see what's going on.
DOR is the Department of Revenue.
Department of Revenue at the state level. They see what's going on, and if that level of chaos continues, you're looking at receivership at some point.
Who wins if the election is Tuesday this coming week? Let's pretend that the election is Tuesday.
4 days from now? Three days from now?
Who wins?
I think right now you're looking at probably a 10, 15, 20 vote Lantigua win.
Right now.
Now. Dave Abdu has 2 weeks. And he's working hard, especially in the north side of the river. You can see him out.
I think he's got the momentum, but I think he's still behind.
I would agree. I would still say he's still slightly behind as we sit here today.
Are you saying 15 or 20 vote difference right now?
Oh, yeah.
That's hardly anything.
It's hardly anything.
Okay. Well, the way Tom was talking, it sounded like Lantigua was considerably ahead in the polls.
Yeah, well, I would say a week ago he probably was. I think the momentum is definitely on Dave's side. We've seen an awful lot of Puerto Rican voters, and it's sad that we have to break them down by their race, but that's the way that it's breaking down. There's an awful lot of Puerto Rican voters, Ecuadorian voters, you know, the three Mexican voters that we have,
Guatemalans,
five Vietnamese that we have, are all going to Dave Abdu. They don't like Willie Lantigua for whatever the reason is, whether it's racial, cultural, or they just don't like him because they know him. Whatever the reason is, they seem to be gravitating toward Dave, and I think that's evening things out.
And when you look at Lantigua had a couple hundred vote first place finish on the 22nd. When you look at a week or so after that, he brings in several of the other mayoral candidates to endorse him. I think that's at that point, he's peaked.
Yeah,
you know, that's probably at the highest level he's going to get because he's not doing any work in the Anglo world.
And what work he is doing at Spanish language phone calls to Anglo
apparently
voters.
You know, I would just point out that
which isn't playing well apparently according to our caller.
Tell me something. There's not that much time left. Are we ever going to hear clearly from both candidates' mouths how they stand on the issues?
I'm hoping.
I mean, isn't that important?
Well, you have been from Abdu. Abdu's been out there with materials, with answering sheets, the questionnaires of the newspapers. He's been on radio shows. He's been at the neighborhood associations.
That's true. He was on this one last
week. You know, so he's been out there. You can look up his positions anywhere in any type of media outlet. Mr. Lantigua, the state representative, on the other hand, has not been doing that. He's been doing a completely different level of campaign that works for him, more one-on-one, more in smaller group settings.
Right.
So there's no media attention on what his positions are. But I'm sure he does have them. We just haven't heard them.
Sounds
and
like
we're
a
hoping that he's
going
to be here on the 31st. I expect that Willie's going to surprise people, and he is going to show up at one debate toward the end. I'm hoping it's mine, but if it's not, I think he ought to at least be at one debate to let people know and to surprise people and to take away that one bullet that the Abdu people and the critics of Willie Lantigua have that he won't debate. I think he shows up for one and all of that goes away and now you have to talk about something else. But I'm hoping he'll be here.
He should be here.
But I'm not holding my breath, though.
He should be here.
Honest with you. All right, when we come back, we've got the Central District Councilors in Methuen, and then after that, at the from the 12 to 1 hour, we're going to talk about Willie Lantigua, the chief, endorsing Billy Manzi in Methuen. Who knew? Cause every day there's a war to fight. 978-454-4980. I guess we're having a problem with the news, and that usually means that I don't get a tape at the end of the show for some reason when that happens. Go ahead.
Do you know what the news is today?
Yes, the news is, according to Al Caprillion, we've got snow coming, we've got rain coming.
Snow
it's gonna
and rain,
be really,
all right.
It's going to be really nice throughout the rest of the week. Also, in the news, the Mount Vernon Neighborhood Association is having a debate in Lawrence today with all the candidates for school committee, city council. That's going to be pretty interesting. Texas, Oklahoma, right?
Oklahoma.
That's true. Who's Auburn playing today?
Oh, you can't
you
hear
got
you.
Alabama, South Carolina later today.
Auburn's playing Kentucky. And what's the point spread on that? Do we know?
Oh,
probably, what, 3 or 5?
17 and a half.
No, come on. No, you're so mean. You are just so mean. All right, 978-454-4980 is the number. I've got these clips of Billy Manzi, and because there's no news, I'm tempted to play them, but then that's going to run us over into Central District Council.
Timmy, are we going to get the news at all, or is that not this hour?
The news is just gone. So why don't we do this? All Let's take a quick break, Timmy. Can we throw in, is the computer's at least working? We don't even
Can you take a break? All right, Tommy, why don't you sing us a jingle?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We could always just talk about Puppy Girl. That's good for a good 20 minutes right there.
That's good for a whole day.
All right, we definitely need to take a break. Can we play music or something so we can shuffle the chairs? We can get the... We can
pretend like we're taking
a
break.
Yeah, throw in some Spanish Shakira music. What number? I don't know. I don't have Shakira on there, but you must have it in the computer somewhere, right?
Would this be the first license that Obama would pull in the middle of a show?
Oh, let me tell you something. If they ever had a fairness doctrine, I would be the first guy off the air. I'd be the first guy off the air. I mean, forget Rush Limbaugh, forget all those other pinheads. Limbaugh's it would
two.
Be me.
He's number two. You're number one.
I would definitely be number one.
When are you
going
to try buying the Patriots?
The Patriots? I'm thinking about buying the Tribune, but definitely not. I really want to go off on the Tribune at some point today, but we've got to get some. There's got to be some Spanish Shakira music.
I don't know if you saw that connection.
Well, what was the connection?
Well, Rush Limbaugh was trying to buy the St. Louis Rams.
I see. All right. Yeah, no, I won't be buying the New England Patriots, but I might be buying the Eagle Tribune.
Okay.
Maybe that tight old Lawrence close. Station.
See, when you buy that paper during the week, you got to read it on occasion to know what's going on.
I see.
Yeah. Or you just go online to, the Eagle Tribune website and read it for free rather than giving them money. Don't give them any money. Read it for free. And you know what's funny? All the candidates are shaking.
Or just steal your neighbors.
Yeah, no, don't do that. That's stealing.
Which apparently people have a great joy in doing as it relates to mine.
They steal your paper? Is that true?
Steal my paper, steal my lawn signs.
Wow.
Really? How about your pumpkins on Halloween?
I usually booby trap
areas north of the...
Okay. That's a good idea.
Ready?
Music. Right. What do you know?
We're just going to play a little bit of Shakira. We're going to shuffle the chairs. We're going to come back. We have a Central District Council candidates talking about why they want to represent you on the Methuen City Council. Then when we come back in the next hour, if these guys want to hang around, they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be back at 1.
And then we're going to talk about...
paid for the full 3 hours.
Willie Lantigua, the chief, and Billy Manzi, and the CNN debacle that the Tribune screwed up. Back after this. I'm paying attention.
I'm Gretchen Putnam, managing editor of the Eagle Tribune, and you shouldn't be listening to Paying Attention.
That's perfect. I do also want to say that I think I apologize for calling transgender people freaks.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that. Yeah. I wasn't even looking for an apology, but thank you for that. And
it doesn't happen often, so write it down on your calendar.
Yeah, well, thank you. I definitely will. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Melody. Please call in again, like every week, if you can.
Gentlemen. Thank you.
All right.
Where are the gentlemen?
Oh, us. Paying Attention Radio program here on WCP, where everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. And by the way, don't miss the local Demolition Derby. It's the YouTube Author's Backyard Demolition Derby in Andover. I think it's in Andover because it's Adi Gonzalez, so I'm pretty sure he's... It says, come and watch it on True TV Comcast 27, which I imagine is Andover, at Kitty's on Wednesday, October 21st. And what day of the week is that? Is that next Saturday? Is that next... When is the 21st? Anybody know? Wednesday. It is Wednesday. So you know what? I'm actually free on Wednesday. I'm probably going to go and say hi to my pals, the Gonzaleses from Andover. They're very good people. If you're interested, you can call 978-807-4263. In the studio, we have the former city council president from Methuen, Phil Leahy. We have Jack Cronin, who I don't think was ever the council president. Were you ever the council president?
4 or 5 times. Yeah.
He was. Oh, all right. Yep. Okay. So that was probably prior to my time. That was probably like around the 20s or 30s. Yeah. And then we have they're both incumbents. Phil Leahy, Jack Cronin are both incumbents. And we have one of the two challenges for that race. Now, two people are going to get elected out of the four candidates. Fadi Shaheen, who ran once before. You ran at large, though, last time, right? Or you ran what?
For Central District.
Oh, you did. So this is the second time running Central District. Right. And the other gentleman in that race, his name is it Dave LaValle? Dave LaValle, who couldn't be here for some reason, but if he'd like to call in, we'll give him a little bit of time if he can. Now, I wanted to do this because I think the Central District is largely ignored. Central District in Methuen, I think, is probably one of the most important districts because you've got the Loop, you've got BJ's Wholesale, you've got Staples, you've got all the stuff that's right there in the middle. Man Orchards, that's all you guys, right?
Not the Loop. Man Orchards is.
Man Orchard, so you got like from that section back, right?
But what we do have is the yeah. central location, the low-income area, the congested area, the Arlington neighborhood, the higher crime area. Is it ignored? No. To a degree, not a whole lot, but it's not the people that are very affluent.
Now, you three gentlemen, I don't know if you listened to the debate that we had between Bill Manzi and Kathy Rahmi a couple of years ago. Yeah. I'm pretty sure pretty much everybody's heard that by now, right? And we're going to run the same kind of thing. Hopefully you guys...
have security here?
Yeah. Why do you think I had the two guys in the first hour hanging around? They're going to be our security in case things get out of control. We also bolted the chairs so nobody can throw anything at each other. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to start throwing out some topics. And I want you guys to kind of talk to each other about where you agree, where you disagree on things, what your differences are. And if you want to fight, this isn't going to be like those silly CTV3 debates in Methuen where people get up and say, there will be no personal attacks. If you say anything personal, we're going to ring our little bell. And that will mean that you're bad and you're going to have to go to your corner. Because those debates are boring. Look, I watched the East debate. I watched the at-large debate in Methuen because now I have Fios, which is great. I can watch all of the Methuen channels. I don't have to leave my house. I don't have to go to meetings. I don't have to do anything. So I'm watching these debates, and it's nothing against the people running the debates. It's just that whoever makes the decision about the rules of the debate dumbs it down and makes it so boring that the average listener, the average watcher, they start flipping the channels after the first 5 minutes because everyone's talking in a monotone way. Everybody's got a minute for an opening statement. We're not going to do any of that. What I'm going to do, I'm going to let you guys say what you want to say, and if I think one person's not getting enough airtime, I'll kind of slow things down, but I really want to leave it up to you guys. So the first thing I want to throw out here is you've got in the Central District a number of issues, and I really want you guys to talk to each other about what you think the most important issue in your district is, even though you vote citywide. What the most important issue to you guys are in your district, and then we'll kind of gravitate from there. We'll start with whoever wants to start.
Okay, you want me to start?
Go ahead. Jack Cronin's going to start.
You're the oldest.
Yeah. At one time I was the youngest, now I'm the oldest. I guess throughout the town, the biggest issue to me is the renovations of the new school, new high school. Not the new high school, but the high school. That happens to be in the Central District. The high school is located in the Central District. And to be a little different from Phil, all our district is not low income.
Try and get a little closer if you can. Okay. That'd be great.
All our district is not low income.
No, I didn't say it was all. I just said predominantly. Yeah,
right.
It is.
It goes from the lower end up to some pretty majestic houses. Most of them are old and historic. So anyway, the most important thing is, I think, is the high school right now. And day to day, it seems to be coming both more reality and also more in jeopardy. I guess today's news from the governor's office is not good. A lot of layoffs coming on the state level, maybe some more cuts to the local aid. And that only means if the high school is going to go forward, the renovation is going to go forward, that the people in the town of Methuen are going to have to bear a lot of the financial burden for that. So that is a major issue. And that, and we all have the infrastructure issues, too, with the sewer, the water, the sidewalks, drainage, and items like that that go on throughout our district. Some of the area is a little high crime district. It gets does get a lot of attention by the police department, by the way, and we have to thank them for that. But we have a whole range of different things. But to me, the biggest issue is the...
you guys can feel free to jump in.
Yeah. Can I ask a question, Mr. Cronin?
Fadi Shaheen has a question, yes.
Sure. You've been in the government, in the politics, for quite long.
Yep.
Okay. How come we were not aware of the renovation of the high school and up to now? I mean, you talked 2 years ago about the high school. You talked 4 years ago about the high school. You talked about 6 years ago about the high school. But it seems like it's not getting any attention. You don't care about any signs to the high school. People, I got stopped 100 times to know, for people to ask me where the high school is. There's no signs. The sign that's on Jackson Street is fading away. I mean, we talk about the big thing, but we could control the little things. Okay? What have you done for the Central District as councilor, beside your personal agenda, okay, to tell the people I've done this? You said on MCTV, you said you got 28 calls in 2 years.
Oh, excuse me. That was last year, Fadi. Now, if you're going to criticize me, get your facts right.
I'm asking, what are your results?
I'm going to try to tell you. If you shut up long enough, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
All right? First of all, I wasn't on the council 6 years ago.
Okay.
All right? And I wasn't on 6 years prior to that. So that's one of your misstatements right there.
But you've been there for four years.
I've been there for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
4 years we've been working on the high school. A prior administration refused to put the high school forward to the city council for approval.
Uh-huh.
At that time, it could have got 90% funding from the state.
Uh-huh.
Those days are over. With this mayor and this council, we have been working with, and it takes a long time. It took over a year to get approval to this high school
to
where it is now.
Again, I'm not talking about the project. I'm talking about this small, tiny project that we could do in the city, in the central square, in the high school, signs for the high schools, making the street not congested, put some signs, traffic lights, whatever it might be.
Okay.
This way people cannot get lost. I mean, you're talking about...
Give me a chance to answer the question for you.
I am not lost. Yeah, okay. I know how
I'm
to get
tell
to
you,
high school.
I'm going to tell you, I think it's my turn to kick in.
All right, Phil.
And I understand what you're trying to do, Fadi, because you know, you've got to attack someone because you're the new guy and we're the two old guys. And that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of the statements you're making are not really accurate, all right? Number one, when you are talking about the high school, shame on the city for not using the 90% funding when they had the opportunity.
I thank you for that.
And we were not
thank
on the council
right.
at that time.
You know,
we were not there
yeah,
at that
when
so we missed the boat.
When we, definitely
missed
the boat. All right?
Whose fault was that? Fault of that?
Sharon Pollack.
That was the private administration.
Okay.
All right.
What I do, want you to understand, and Jack tried to talk about it, we talked about the renovation of the high school 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to it prior. But that whole process takes that long. The state does not exactly move in bounds and leaps. They're very slow. That thing we talked about 2 years and what we're talking about now is a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And Jack says, yeah, there's good news, there's bad news. You know, I'll tell you the truth. You know, we were going to talk about different parts of the, you know, the central district and so forth like that, the small things. And you're right, small things are important.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing more important right now than the high school, mainly because, and I'm going to say, I brought this up over a year ago. I didn't get no support from my colleagues. I wish I would have. I wanted to have some kind of a non-binding question to see if the people would even consider an override.
Exactly, and I like that.
All right, now, am I going to support an override? Absolutely. Because as much as I don't want to go to the people to get money, the need for the high school, I think, is greater. Do I think an override will pass? I'm not so darn sure. And
so
that's why I wish I would have had some information prior.
So you're telling me right now that an override is needed, which I agree
with. No, I said it could be needed.
It could be needed. And I understand where you're coming from through the whole 2 years that you've been at city council, the last 2 years. But I'm talking about, you, Mr. Leahy, you've been 4 years city councilor, okay? And we talk about the same issues 2 years after 2 years.
Yeah, well, sometimes it takes that long for the issue to come to fruition. Now you're talking about some of the smaller things. I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm not supporting Jack because I'm running against him, just like I'm running against you and just like I'm running against Dave LaValle.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and I have worked on a lot of things together. A lot of legislation that I've proposed, he's supported for me. The water services in the street, we've been saving people thousands of dollars because they were getting nailed to do it themselves. He supported me on the handicap accessible for the commercial buildings. Did we have differences? Yeah. He went against the water rate. I went for it. He went against, reclassification. He went for it. We don't vote the same down the road, but a lot of those 28 or more things he's worked on, I've worked on with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've enjoyed being a colleague to Jack because, mm-hmm. number one, we work well together. We disagree numerous times, but it has never yet become personal.
And it's
never hurt the Central District. And I can't make it personal today because he's my ride home.
I understand that, Leahy. I understand, Mr. Cronin and Mr. Leahy, what you're coming from. But tell me, for the 4 years you've been counselors, mm-hmm. what have you done for the Central District, which you represent? You represented for 4 years. What have you done?
It's a legitimate question. Well, I'm going to give both of you guys an opportunity to talk about specific things that you've done for your district.
Besides increasing the water rate.
But give them a chance to answer the question, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll be glad to go first. And number one, when you say increasing the water rate, that's really not fair, okay? When you consider the fact that they never raised the water rate for about 12 years, and now you had them, they drained. Mm-hmm. Drained like $3 million from reserve fund. But let's go on to the Central District.
Yes,
and again, some of the things I'm going to say is probably things Jack's going to say also. We did work on getting water services being paid for by the city of Methuen.
Mm-hmm.
That applied to the Central District. We've done work on the traffic situation up
House Street?
No. Well, actually, we're doing a little bit on that, too. But we did some up on Broadway, going into New Hampshire, when the master plan was come down. We sat and we had numerous meetings with the residents in that area to hopefully that they would comply, and I'll tell you what, Jack and I were both willing to vote against the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Vote against it, something that everybody wanted in the worst way, until the residents down there. I've been extremely involved with Linda Susie and her gang down in the Arlington neighborhood. The senator they have down there, not because of me, because of my sister, but the senator down there has been named after my mother. I've done a lot of work with them. I've done a lot of work throughout every time somebody calls me. And you know what? I guess if I was a better politician, and I'm not,
I guess
I would write down all these little services and favors and that. But you know what I do? I get a call. They ask me about it. I go through the proper channels. And I say 98% of the time, they're resolved. So can I give you every particular thing I've done for 4 years? No, I'm glad I can't, because there's so many I've done, I don't remember them all.
How about you, Jack Cronin?
Well, a couple of things, like Phil said, we worked together on. Most recently, the repaving of East Street, of Elm Street, East Capitol Street. We were successful in working with the mayor to get a sewerage pumping station removed and put on gravity feed, so to eliminate the cost of that pumping station every year. Numerous calls, like Phil said, that don't show up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
A crosswalk on Pleasant Street for a gentleman and his kids, so they could cross the street in a high traffic area. Things like that you don't see. Numerous calls, sidewalk repairs. You don't see that. It doesn't show up on the council floor. You go through the proper channels and email to the mayor. Come on, can we get this thing fixed? We have a problem here. They can't run wheelchairs on this property. Can we get this fixed? Somebody's going to get hurt. Those are the little things, and those are the 28 things I was talking about for the last year. Not the last 2 years, but for the last year, 28 constituents.
Out of 8,000.
I only got 28 calls. We resolved them all. What do you want me to do?
I got a few. I got a couple of them actually called me, Fadi.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, Fadi Shaheen.
What have you done for Methuen Square?
Well, what do you want me to do for Methuen Square?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question. What do you want him to do, Fadi?
Okay.
That's a great question. What do you want him to do?
Let me say this. Years ago, as chairman of the city council, and this is not known to most people now, that through a town manager, we received a grant for a parking garage to be put on Osgood Street. one of the levels of that parking garage was going to come out right between the 1859 and the building next door. Some of the merchants were ecstatic about it. Some of them said it was, oh, this is just for the 1859. You're creating parking for the 1859. It was for the whole downtown. Everybody who worked downtown could have parked in that parking garage, leaving all the other spaces open for customers. Okay? Guess what? The merchants turned it down. We're not going to spend city money. We don't have city money to fix up that center of town. The merchants have to get together, and they have to make a commitment to redo their storefronts with a village style or, by the way, that is part of the historical district, with a historical type facade. And you have to have quaint stores go in there, specialty stores. Mm-hmm. We have a diner, a restaurant down there. They do a great business, and they put out a great project. Then we have the 1859 restaurant. But they're not of a historical nature. No. And that's what's going to draw the people to downtown, and not the helter-skelter stuff. And it has to be the not the merchants so much, but the property owners, because a lot of people down there are just renting.
May I interrupt?
Go ahead.
Okay. Have you toured the square?
I go down through the
square
every day.
Could you agree that some of the stores are owned by officials? Let me ask a question.
No, I'm going to say
Do they need the lift?
I'm going to say
facelift?
No. I'm going to say no. I don't think they're owned by officials.
No?
No.
Oh.
Freddie, okay. who are the officials that own businesses
what
downtown?
What about the liquor store?
That's sold.
The liquor store is no longer owned by...
It was not owned.
But wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You know, I'm going to tell you, Freddie, all right?
It's not owned by the mayor. That's what you're thinking.
I'm going to tell you. I don't go for this, all right?
Well, I'm just saying, let me say with the facelift.
I know Trump tries to make this show fun, okay?
This is fun, believe me.
And I'll go for it, all right? But I'm going to tell you what. You talk about the downtown. I think one thing you have to sincerely, and number one, the Apple Yard thing is going to come in. How long does it take? It's taken forever. Okay. You want to know something? Because of term limits, which I do support right down the road, the council that comes in after me, hopefully in 2 years, mm-hmm. will be seeing the fruits of the Apple Yards, who may be seeing the fruits of the master plan and developing all off of Osgood Street. You know, there are some good things happening, but you want to know something? 2 years from now, if me and Jackie are lucky to get in this time, and 2 years you're running against unopposed people, you know what you're going to be talking about? You're going to be talking about the downtown. You're going to be talking about the development of the master plan. You want to know something? You may even be talking about what are we going to do with the high school.
Listen, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what it is for good for
exactly.
the city.
What I'm saying is it takes time.
I don't take credit for myself for doing something I didn't do. So
don't throw these words at me. Well, you're going to have to because you want to know something. The council that comes in after us had better continue the work that we started because it's not going to get done in 6 years.
Yes, for a betterment for the city of Methone, not for a betterment for Fadi Sheen or Mr. Lee.
Where do we benefit from that?
Can I ask a question?
My producer just told me that this is so good, we're not even going to have any commercials this hour.
Let me ask a question, okay?
Yes, Fadi Sheen. By the way, you should have your own radio show because you're asking better questions than I possibly could be.
What is the role of the city councilors when it comes to budget, check and balance? Budget's been thrown to you once a year, okay, and you vote yes or no for it.
I'm going to tell you
that. No, not necessarily.
Wait, can I?
Yeah, but I'm going to say that's an unfair question for this year.
Let me ask a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, the mayor on MCTV said that any dime he spent from 10,000 to 20 to 50 has been represented to you to who he's going to pay this money to and what they're going to do. And so on and so on. He said on
no,
MCTV.
No, that's not what he said.
That's not what he said.
All right, give them a chance. Give them a chance to answer.
That's not what he said. What he said is that any money that he is spending, mm-hmm. and you're talking about the discretionary cash from $50,000, which is his limit right now. Mm-hmm. What he said was any money that he is spending mm-hmm. it has already been budgetary approved, which is factually true.
Right.
Uh-huh. Not specifically.
So why
true.
Don't we have the right to know about the specific then?
Because we don't. That's the charter. You want to change the charter, run for
well,
charter.
Well, not just that. And again, the discretionary spending, and again, you know, you have some councils that say the council votes on every contract. Well, they don't.
No.
What Jack says is right. It's in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's, because of discretionary spending, and is that something the council could change? Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. We tried to change it 2 meetings ago to at least bring the discretionary spending down so it wouldn't apply to prior employees who became consultants, side letters, stipends, what I call little bonuses. Mm-hmm. Well, we brought it forth before the council. Mm-hmm. I had three councilors support my legislation, but it failed.
And so, I was one that we both voted for.
So but all I'm saying is, you know, it takes a majority of the councilors to be on the same page to pass it. Now, they happen to buy the mayor's the mayor's way of going, that he needs that to be a good CEO. I didn't believe it. Jack didn't believe it. Jeannie, Larry Giordano didn't. Unfortunately, the majority. So you know what happens when you lose that legislation like that?
You're a bad guy?
No,
bad
you
guy?
You suck it up and you say, okay, let's get on to the next battle.
Right, yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. I know everybody wants to just beat the crap out of each other, and I really want to encourage that. You guys are doing a great job so far. I think this is really entertaining for our Methuen listeners. Hopefully they're learning a lot more than you have 1 minute and no personal attacks.
You want me to ring the bell?
You know, it's really getting spirited when the guests are reaching over to ring the bell. That's when you know things are going really well on this program. Let's take a quick break. We'll listen to some Shakira. We'll pay some bills. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Jack Cronin, Phil Leahy, Fadi Shaheen. We're going to talk a little bit about the charter change when we come back, if that's okay with you guys.
Are you going to hire me?
I just might. I just might. He was asking better questions than I could here on WCAP's Paying Attention. 980. Everybody gets it back after this.
Because every day there's a war to fight, and if I win or lose, never I mind, as long as you're my shelter. Every night I used to cry against the wall.
This is Mitt Romney, and you're listening to the Paying Attention radio program with Tom Duggan.
Now, is that true? Jim Ferrantini was listening and he called in? Yeah? God, I'm so mad at him. I shouldn't even let him on the air. Haverhill Mayor Jim Ferrantini.
And what are you mad at me about?
I don't know. Jim Ferrantini. Are you running for mayor?
Well, we'll see. I haven't made any announcement
yet. That's why I'm mad at you, because when you make the announcement, you'll give it to the Trib and not us.
Oh, you're mad at me for something you assume I will do.
Yes.
Preemptive anger.
Preemptive.
I see.
If you decide to run for mayor, Mr. Ferrantini, will you debate John Mitchison on the Paying Attention radio program?
Who?
All right, 978-454-4980. Just talking a little bit during the break about MCTV and Methuen Cable Access Television, and how it's supposed to be public dollars running it, and everybody really should be welcome, but apparently if they don't like you at MCTV, then I guess you don't count as somebody who is everyone who's welcome. Apparently then not so much. Very, very interesting stuff. And I'm going to be asking the mayoral candidates about this, but let's just take a couple of seconds before we talk about the new charter. The Methuen Cable Access, is that run with public dollars? Did I get that right, or am I just misinformed on that? Anybody?
I think most of that money comes from the Verizon and the Comcast donations to make that possible. I think that's where they get most of their funding.
And that's a contract with them in the state. I mean, with them in the city.
Yes, with them in the city. That's part of the when the contracts were negotiated. That was part of, to give public access. That was part of the deal that they would have to.
And now, who are the people that run MCTV? Is there a board? Is there
a board of directors? I'm not sure who is on it, but I think there is a board of directors, and it does have an executive director.
Sarah Hayden. All right. Yeah, and her husband, I guess. Yeah. So now I flip on, because now I've got Fios, which is the greatest thing in the world. I encourage everybody to get Fios. I flip it on and I see commercials for businesses. And I always thought that when you had a public access thing, that they couldn't
generate revenue for private businesses. Does that money go into coffers that come back to the city? Does that money, what, does anybody know where that money goes? No. I know this is a scheduled part of the debate, but I'm just curious.
I don't believe that, I've never seen it on our budget as revenue money coming in.
Interesting.
Money coming in. So
you don't see much anything on our budget pertaining to
the revenue. I bet it seems to be going out.
Very, very interesting.
It's something we should look at, actually. Yeah.
But I think it probably goes to
back to
fund
the
Yeah, I'm very interested in MCTV these days. So,
really?
I've told them all why off the air, but we're going to be getting into more of that when Al DiNuccio and Billy Manzi are here. Now, there's a possible charter change coming. There's a charter question on the ballot. I'd like you guys to kind of talk about what it is and whether you support it and what direction you'd like to see the city go when it comes to putting together this charter commission and what you think they ought to be doing and what, you know, where it is that you'd favor, what you wouldn't favor on changes to the charter of the city known as the town of Methuen.
If you don't mind, I'll kick it off because
Phil Leahy will be kicking it off.
I've been working on it for well over a year now. And as a matter of fact, we've talked to you, Joe and Jeannie Popolato have called you up and, we've talked at length about the charter study and the amount of signatures that we had to go out and get it. And, you know, we did get the 4,600 that were required. We got in excess of 6,000, but, you know, to get them certified. And the reason it was started, basically, and, you know, everybody's trying to make more out of it than what it is. And we're not really trying to change the form of government. We're not trying to change it. We're just trying to get a, hopefully, a neutral bunch of people who will just sit down, look at the charter that hasn't been looked at in over 20 years, and see if there are... I mean, I'm going to tell you something. There's been changes made in there within the last 20 years that didn't go through a charter commission. They would home rule petition. They'd stick something, you know, the way they hire employees and various term limits have been bounced around numerous times. That's basically all it is. I'll tell you the thing that kind of scares me a little bit, and I'll probably take some hits for this, but that's okay. There are close to 30 people who pulled papers on it. You want to know something? If you looked, I will bet you money that you will find individuals on here who not only don't want a charter change, probably didn't sign the petition to get it on the ballot, who will probably go and vote against the charter, and then have pulled papers to be on the Charter Study Commission. What kind of representative is that going to make that someone that didn't want the charter change anyway?
Well, don't they deserve a voice?
They
don't
deserve
the people
a
don't
voice.
Want a charter deserve
they
a voice?
They absolutely deserve a voice. But you want to know something? If I vote for someone, I'm going to vote for them. If I'm going to vote against the charter, then I feel the charter is good just the way it is. But if I'm going to vote against the charter, and then I'm going to run to be on the Charter Study Commission so that I can cause as much turmoil and try to keep the... Then I don't think...
But don't you understand that's how shows like mine exist?
Absolutely.
Don't you understand that?
And I'm glad I came down here so I can stir up a little more...
Oh, I'm thrilled that you guys are here. I was really worried this was going to be boring, and it has been anything but that. Yeah, let's let Fadi Shaheen in on this, on the Charter Study Commission.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I understand what Mr. Leahy's saying, and I applaud him for this, that he worked hard with, along with
Fadi,
good citizens.
Can you just please call me Phil? Mr. Leahy was my
He's father. Phil of the future, Phil. Phil
Mr.
of
Leahy,
the future, Phil.
Phil. Okay, I do appreciate what Phil Leahy did for the citizen for better government. Okay, I'm not confused. I'm just, I like, with respect to call you Mr. Leahy. That's
yeah,
why.
That's
okay.
Good. That's good.
So
call him Mr. President is what
Mr.
you want to call on him.
What Phil hit on is, we understand that they have the right to voice their opinion in this. But, I mean, some of these people who are running for the charter committee don't even know anything about the charter. They were welcomed in our meetings, okay, and not even one bothered to come down to learn about the charter, about what we're trying to do. The only thing what we're trying to do is to update, to improve, to see what works and doesn't work for the city, for the betterment of the city, not for the betterment of Filehi or Popolardo or Fadi Shaheen or whoever is on that committee, okay? It's not about us. It's about the charter to improve the city. And now, sadly to say, some councilors, some people say they were active in this group, and they showed once or twice, and they were done, and they proudly they sat on MCTV, and they said, oh, we're very active members with this committee. I don't get it. I'm a recently active. I've been with the committee, maybe Phil will correct me, maybe over a year or a little less than a year. I'm not so sure, okay? I try to make all the meetings. But for me, to stand in front of the public and say, no, I'm the one who started, or I was there from the beginning, and didn't even show more than once, I think that's, I don't know what to call it. I really don't know what to call it. I am for the charter. I hope the charter will bring something good for the city.
You're saying you're for a new charter?
No. I said I'm for the charter commission.
Oh, committee. The commission, okay.
Okay? And I hope they do come up with some good decision that benefits the citizens of Mishkun and improve our government, improve our lives, and make the city a much more better city to live with.
Now, Jack Cronin, you've been awfully quiet during this discussion. There are proposals to change the city charter in Methuen. Some people want lifetime term limits. Some people want one-term term limits. Some people want no term limits. Some people want a stronger mayor. Some people want a weaker mayor. Where do you stand on all this? What are your thoughts?
Well, let me just address Shadi, if I could, for 1 second,
Fadi,
please.
Fadi.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Shadi,
it's my turn,
right. Right.
My wife used to work at Shadi's restaurant.
Oh,
that's why
it's good food out there.
Yes, very good food.
Try the veal.
He was talking about me as far as being a member of that, not going to the meetings. Let me just set the record straight. I was one of the first members of there, and I have never attended any of the meetings, not just one or two. I've never attended any. I paid my dues. They went and they did their own thing. My position was, as a city councilor, I didn't think it was right for me to be in there injecting my thoughts into that group. I wanted them to be an independent group. That's the way I felt. I gave them my dues, and they went and they did whatever they wanted to do. I am a candidate.
You're a resident, too.
I am a candidate for the Charter Study Commission, and I am endorsed by that group.
So you're not just a candidate for city council in Central District. You're also a candidate to be on the Charter Commission, you can get elected to both, or both of you guys.
Just to pick up on Jack, and I can understand why a city councilor may not want to be as actively involved as I was. I didn't take an office or anything like that, but I was an active member in that group, as was Jeannie Papalotto. I am running for the Charter Study Commission. And I think I am running for the right reasons. And it was something I was very passionate about. And you want to know something? Jack's right. You know, being an active city councilor, you know, maybe it could have hurt the group, maybe it could have hurt me or whatever like that. The issue to me was important enough to get that actively involved. I don't begrudge anybody who wasn't, but we did open it up. Jack did want to be a part of it, but not... obviously not as active.
Yeah, everyone's got their own campaign style.
Let
Jack finish, though.
Just 1 minute.
Just hold it. Let Jack finish. Because
First of all, I like to present my views on the charter, which is the actual question you asked.
Right. And thank you for that, by the way.
First of all, I think more people ought to have the opportunity to be involved in their government. And I think term limits, not only on the council, but should be, and by the way, I've supported term limits for years.
Amen.
I've always supported term limits. But I think term limits ought to be placed on boards and commissions.
Mm-hmm. Like zoning board and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm.
Zoning board, licensing board. Believe it or not, one of the boards that has the most power in the city of Methuen is the Community Development Board. They have an extreme amount of power. As far as permitting goes, for a lot of different things, cell towers, all kinds of things, and the zoning board as well. Now you don't have to have you could have them as an elected position, okay? Which if they're going to have all this power, maybe they should be elected and answerable to the people. Or you could have their terms run concurrently with the mayor's position, so that the mayor, whoever the new mayor is, whenever the new mayor is. He could appoint all new people if he wanted, or retain some of the ones that he wanted. But somehow there's got to be a mechanism for a lot more people to take advantage that probably want to be involved in their government, maybe not as a counselor or a school committee person, but want to be involved in their government but don't have the opportunity because right now it's just a closed session. So I think somehow there's got to be a mechanism for more people to be involved. More transparency, everybody... Right now, I have to give a lot of credit to the mayor and the boards because they do post all the agendas for all these boards and commissions. They're all on the internet and all on our website so that they can see what's coming up. There's a lot of notification going on, some of it not so good. Mistakes being made here and there, but most of the time, the neighbors, if something's happening in their neighborhood, are directly notified by mail. So that part is okay, but that's just one session.
I think I have too much problem with this.
I don't care. The mayor, the mayor. This is my opinion.
Tom, what's active yes. mean to you?
What active means to me is somebody who
participate.
Yeah, participate.
Show, throw their opinions. Uh-huh. Okay, and try to put their inputs.
Right.
How could somebody say I'm an active of this group, and they endorsed me, and doesn't want to participate in any meetings? That he doesn't have to agree with everything they say. And but they look, he's looking at it, or they're looking at it that, oh, it's going to hurt me because I'm running a city councilor. Oh, it might affect my run. It might affect my campaign. I'm glad that Phil attends it.
Well, first of all, I never said that I was afraid of anything.
I have to side with Jack on this. I don't think he's afraid of anything.
I don't put words in my mouth.
I don't think.
I'm going to tell you, you know, Infadi, you're a member of Citizens for Better Government.
Yes.
The Citizens for Better Government endorsed people that we thought would give a good look at the charter study, at the charter.
Mm-hmm.
And in fairness to Jack, he's not the only one that didn't come to meetings that we endorsed. And I'll come out and I'll mention that we endorsed Jack Cronin. We endorsed Mike Hennessy. Mm-hmm. I get some plugs in for these people. Good. We endorsed Maureen Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
these people were not active members in the charter stuff,
I'm not against that.
What I'm saying is,
I'm not against that. No, I'm just saying, how come he can't come down and
we want to see people get elected who will take a real look. Look at some of the things Jack just mentioned are some of the things that you're going to have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Term limits, not only again for us, but for the boards, elected, appointed, concurrent, whatever. The appointments of our people that are. There's so many things,
mm-hmm.
and you want to know something? The Citizens for Better Government looked over people who said they were willing to run for it, and we looked at them and we said, you know, these people may not only get elected, but they'll go in there with the attitude. And I'm not defending Jack because, again, I mentioned Mike Hennessy, Maureen Donovan, and there's a few others that really didn't come to our meetings, but we would be pleased to see them get elected on the Charter Study Commission. And you're a member of Citizens for Better Government, so you partook in this.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying being active is different than endorsing somebody.
Well, I didn't say... again, let's forget about active. Okay. Let's see if we can get... You know, Fadi, I hate to say this, but and I understand you're running against Jack, you're running against me, and you've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But... please, don't do it at the expense of Citizens for Better Government.
I'm not. Actually, I'm not. I think...
I'm so loving this. Go ahead.
I think... let's change the subject a little bit about this because...
go ahead. It's your show.
Okay. we talk about budget. We talk about the 27 cars, take-home cars. We talk about the school committee budget.
Sure.
For the last 20 years, okay, we've run $2 million over the budget. For 3.5 years, the budget went up 16%, and the population of Methuen did not increase so much. Actually, if you look at the high school itself, the student is decreased by 171 students. Okay, how about the 27 take-home cars that the mayor himself denied that it's not 27, it's less, much less than that. And the Lawrence City Tribune did some their investigation, it was 27 cars.
Yeah, well, I got to stop you there, though. You really can't come by what the Tribune says, really?
Well,
I mean, honestly. If I get a choice between believing Bill Manzi or the Tribune, I'm going with Billy every time.
I like to know the true number. I really do.
You know, whether it's 27, 28, 227 is immaterial. Just so you know, I'm against... You know, I've spoken out against mm-hmm. the take-home vehicles. I've spoken out even more about people get paid money to drive their own vehicles. But, you know, and you know what? Here's what I got a problem. And, you know, and I kind of wish Dave LaValle was here because I'd hate to take a
he
shot at
he just tried to call in, but we've only got a minute left.
Yeah. You know, he talks budget. Learn the issues. Learn what the city... Because the city council has a committee now that is working specifically on... take-home vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't happen overnight. It's politics.
We've got about 3 minutes, and I'd love to just do this for another whole hour. but here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give each of you guys a minute to just remind people who you are, ask them for their vote, tell them what's going on in your head as far as why they should vote for you. And we'll start with we'll go left to right since we started the other way around. We'll start with Fadi and we'll end up with Philly.
Basically, I'm not happy with this. What's going on in Methuen? Okay, from hiring, rehiring of police officers to reservists. Okay, about the budget, about the school committee, school committee budget. I think we have heard the same 4 years back to back. Okay, I'm a new vision. I'm a new voice. I have some ideas. Methuen Square, we could do a lot for it. We could redirect streets. We could maybe close one street and open it for more business. Okay, we could improve in the parking lot in the square. The high school has been neglected.
10 seconds.
And I'm surprised that both candidates said the central district is neglected. But what did they do for that central district?
Jack?
Okay, basically, Fadi is a one-issue candidate, only he's afraid to bring it out. His issue is Joe Solomon. His sole purpose of running is to bring him back into office.
That's not correct.
And I have statements from him that I don't even want to read. I'll leave them with you about when he came up to our city council meeting representing Joe Solomon. But anyway, the central district has not been neglected. It's been very well taken care of.
If that's what you want to talk, let's talk about
you
your...
You've got to give him his minute because we had to go to a break.
Mr. Fadi has come up, made statements that he has all new ideas, but have shown you none.
10 seconds.
The high school is a purview that it's not within the school committee, the city council to run. Mr. Fadi, maybe she's running for the wrong office.
Phil?
Okay, Phil Leahy. I'm number four on the ballot, just so everybody remembers. And listen, I've worked hard as a city councilor. I've taken some hits, and I think I've done some pretty good legislation. I think I filed some pretty legislation that didn't pass. I give it everything I have for the Central District. I answer all the constituents. Listen, give me one more shot, 2 more years. I won't disappoint you.
All right.
And that's all.
All right, 9784. Yeah, I could have these guys in for another whole hour if we didn't have so much more stuff to do. Hopefully, I'm going to hear from all of you guys before Monday about advertising, about bio information for our special election edition, which will be out this coming week. We're usually toward the end of the week. Guys, thanks so much for coming in, especially Jack Cronin, because we haven't really had an awful lot of time to, you know, converse over the years, and it's good to see you in here, and it's good that you're willing to do this. We'll be back with Bob Okanowski, Paul Morano here on Paying Attention. Everybody gets it!
And now back to Sharon Pollard's secret love interest.
Mayor Mike Sullivan of Lawrence is our guest right now. Now, I probably opened up a can of worms when I asked our last guest to give you a question. I gave him one question to ask you, and of course it was Tommy Duggan from the Valley Patriot.
Oh, boy.
Well, I said, Tommy, you got one question you can ask Mayor Sullivan, and this was his question.
Good.
Will you fire Frank McKinn?
Because I want to be a cowboy, baby. With a top left back and the sunshine shining. Cowboy, baby. West Coast chilling with the booms. I want to be a cowboy, baby.
Right now. 978-454-4980 is the phone number here on the Paying Attention Radio program. How about that, huh? We had the Central District Councilor candidates in here. We had Fadi Shaheen. We had former City Council President Phil Leahy. We had Jack Cronin. And one of the candidates, the fourth candidate in that race, Dave LaValle, was not able to be in the studio. And he called with about a minute and a half left in the last hour. And I wanted to give him at least a couple of minutes after the break here with the listeners to at least let people know who he is and you know why people should vote for him. Mr. LaValle, you on the line?
I am on the line.
Tell people why they should vote for you and what some of your main issues are.
Well, I certainly would address what Phil Leahy said. He clearly, my issue is the budget, and I would challenge what he said because he seems to think you need to know issues as to how to not spend money. Gee, I've raised a family of seven, and I know how to stop spending money. I don't have to know issues. You don't send money out. But my main concern is you got and what I heard in the last time, I've been driving around because I had to work today. But you got two present city councilors that are very arrogant. And if the people of the city of Methuen want arrogance, they got two of them. I would challenge somebody that actually told another citizen to shut up on the radio. If somebody tells me to shut up, they're going to have a fist in their face. I mean, you can do it a lot nicer than that. I agree, maybe Mr. Shaheen was out of place and kind of going at it and stuff, but I don't think the proper word is shut up. But I'm a new person. I'm a person that comes with no obligations, no ties to anybody. I don't have children looking for a job. I'm not looking for a job. I'm perfectly fine. I have no connections to anybody. And again, if you notice, as Mr. Leahy was going over the people that got approved for that committee, they're all has-beens of the city. It's continued the same people over and over. They all agree with term limits, but they keep turning over into a different district and they go back. And again, Mr. Cronin claimed he was for term limits, but the literature that he sends out says he has 20 years of experience on the city council. It's funny, I ran 2 years ago, and he said that at the... Yeah, I agree with you with the MCTV, by the way.
Thank you.
He said, oh, 100%, I'm for term limits. The very next day, I got his literature in the mail in my mailbox. It says 20 years experience. I don't know. That's not right. For what it's worth, I will go on the record. I do not believe in term limits. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. Yes, I know there's some problems, but I don't think term limits is the answer. I just don't think it's the way. But again, my main concern is the money. You know, I mean, I agree with what Mr. Shaheen said. You know, the budget just keeps climbing it's way out of line. Now, I don't know how accurate she is, but I talked to Deb Quinn, and she mentioned it on the forum when she was debating for the West End, and she told me 95% of that budget is salary. That's what she said. Now, she's a present counselor, so I don't have any reason to doubt she said that, but, gee, that tells you if you give people a raise, guess what? The budget's going up. Right. How many issues do you have to know that's the truth? I mean, it's simple math. And again, by the way, both present central district councilors are on record for saying they want to give back that 10% to all the city workers. They absolutely said no way would they be for a salary freeze, which, again, I would be for. And again, it's not because I want to delete or cut or lay off anybody, but the bottom line is we are in a terrible recession. And again, you don't need to know issues for that. You can just read the paper and go out and live your life. We're in a terrible recession, and people don't have jobs, and they don't have more money, and they don't have money to support people. Again, even with great pensions, my pension where I'm working, and by the way, it's a union, I am a Teamster, it is $1,000 a month, okay? It amazes me some of these people can retire better than when they're working. I don't get that. And again, that's, as Phil says, that's an issue, you know, that obviously none of us know about. But I have watched some city council meetings, and I've noticed they continually vote for every contract without as much as a nay or what about this. And then pensions, and again, that's what Deb Quinn said, them pensions are going to break this city. And to me, it's that simple.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time, and I'd like to give you more time, but we've got so much more to get to in our last 40 minutes or so. Can we put you on hold, though? I'd like to get my producer to get your phone number because I do need to call you.
I do, no problem, and I thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Dave LaValle is a candidate for Central District Councilor. If Timmy, you could get his number for me off the air. I want to make sure we can get some bio information for our special election edition that's going to be out at the end of the week. And who knows, maybe we'll even get him to buy an ad. That's really what I really care about. It's really all about the money. 978-454-4980. So, guys, what did you think of that debate? Was it? It was a lot more spirited than I thought it was going to be.
Spirited, but that's every night on the city council in Lawrence.
That's true. The Lawrence listeners are bored.
Nothing is more exciting than watching what goes on in the beautiful city of Lawrence.
Now, is that going to change, do you think, with the new council coming in? Because I really think you've only got maybe one or two incumbent councils coming back.
Well, it's incumbent upon the people coming into the room that night, whether you have fistfights, verbal altercations, people treating people with respect and that comes with the position, or you digress even further to what we've been seeing over the last 2, 4, 6 years. So it'll be how it plays out the first couple months on what they choose to be. And it also, I think, there's a factor with the who the mayor's going to be. You know, if you, depending on how the mayor is going to treat the situation, that can set the tone as well.
Paul?
Well, it was it was kind of a fun sporting event in here this morning, but I'm not sure exactly what we got out of it in terms of what they want to do or what they can't do or what they can do. Sort of like
that's not important. Nobody votes on that. Come on.
It's like you haven't done anything for the square. Well, what can you do for the square? You know, we don't have the authority to do this or that or the other thing. It's I'm not sure how much the voter learned this morning, but it was fun to listen to anyway.
Well, really, as long as it's entertaining, that's really all I care about.
That's all.
And to be honest with you, we look at the voting patterns of people. They vote because this guy's got a fun name. They vote because this guy was my babysitter 20 years ago. They vote because this guy lives in my neighborhood. They vote because of a million things that have nothing to do with qualifications.
They vote for the Italian, or they vote for the Latino, or they vote for the Irish kid, or it's
or the Lebanese guy, or the right.
Well, this just tells you the weakness of democracy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But still, as bad as it is, I think the best system out there. Agreed.
Well, was it Thomas Paine that once said it's the best system in the world except for all the... I mean, it's the worst system in the world except for all the others?
All the others, right. Yeah. Right.
Say, what I find ironic, one of the points that were made is that my show, Beneath the Surface, my TV show, that is produced in Burlington, Massachusetts, is actually playing on MCTV.
And I'm watching it on Fios now. I'm enjoying you.
On a regular basis. And somebody perhaps like yourself can't get on MCTV.
Right.
Who lives, a stone's throw away.
Isn't that amazing? I actually got invited, and I'm even going to say, I was invited by Pat Uliano to go on MCTV as a guest. And she had to call me prior to taping to let me know that because the people who run MCTV don't like me, that they refused to produce the show, and that they wanted her to uninvite me as a guest. Now, to me, I don't care who likes me. I don't care who doesn't like me. But if you're running a public entity and it's supposed to be for the public and somebody has their own show and they want to have somebody on as a guest, they ought to not be running into that kind of ridiculous. That's something I'd expect out of Lawrence. It's certainly not something I'd expect Sarah Hayden out of.
And I would submit to you that they're violating the contract under which they operate, and they're also violating federal law under which they're operating.
And ironically, again, you are one of the main guests on one of my shows that is playing on MCTV. So I don't know how they're getting around.
Are you sure they didn't edit that part out? Are you sure?
I don't think
Sarah's husband's not back there with the little.
I don't think they're cutting you out on that one.
Unbelievable. 978-454-4980. So. I've got some clips, and I definitely want to play at least a couple of these clips and talk about them. Then we'll take a break, and Sean Hansen's here. He's going to talk about the Lowell Devils, whom we love. By the way, great hat. Great hat. Did you design that hat?
I helped design this hat. They had no camo hats last year. I'm a season ticket holder. I was talking to the Devils people off-season, and I made the suggestion that if you take a look at the spinner's hat, they got a very nice camo spinner's hat, that you should look into some camo. And sure enough, I went to the fan fest they had prior to the season, and they had it right there. It's a great product. A lot of people purchasing the other night on the home opener, and it's a great team. It's a great take for a family, by the way.
You've got season tickets to the Lowell Devils. Have you seen the Valley Patriot ads on the dashboards down on the ice? Have you seen those?
I did not notice those.
Yeah, I was watching
the action on the ice.
No, you got to be looking for the Valley Patriots
and the cheerleaders,
stuff.
Of course.
It's right on the ice.
The hotties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, where the guys crash into the glass, the boards beneath the glass say Sunoco or whatever.
Yeah.
We've got two Valley Patriot dashboards underneath the glass, like right above the ice, which is great.
But it's a great take for a family, and it's very inexpensive, and it's a lot of action, a lot of great players coming through the system, up and down. And you get Rangers Farm Club, you get the Kings, you get all of them. So it's
the Lowell team is the New Jersey Farm Club, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something to do in the Valley and you don't want to spend a lot of money going down to Boston, you could probably take a family of four or five for the price of one ticket down to the Bruins. And I was a former Bruins season ticket holder, so it's I like bringing the kids and their friends, and you're not going to miss out on some great entertainment.
All right, 978-454-4980. So this week I'm doing my regular political thing. I've got my list of things I'm supposed to be doing. I go to all of these different events, and one of the things on my list that I almost didn't go to was at a local restaurant in the west end of Methuen. It was a Billy Manzi fundraiser. It was a high-end fundraiser. And I almost didn't go because it was a high-end fundraiser. And I don't like to go to the high-end ones because they spend a lot of money for the hall. They spend a lot of money for really good food, which Mike Condon always gives them over there. He's an excellent cook. And as I'm walking in, I'm a little bit late. It was supposed to start like around 6, 6:30. I showed up around 7. And as I'm walking in, I hear Linda Campbell, the state representative from Methuen, up there talking about extolling the virtues of Billy Manzi. She supports Billy Manzi 100%. And then she says, and we have state representative from Lawrence, Willie Lantigua is here, and we'd like to call him up to say a few words. And I went, what? This is the guy who doesn't want to debate in Lawrence, but he's going to take the microphone in Methuen? I was highly entertained, especially looking around the room and seeing Lenny Degnan, the Dove Oak, who couldn't even get elected to the Volk School Board in North Andover against the guy that moved into town 6 months earlier. And I'm watching him standing with Willie, and Willie walks up to the podium, and here is, believe it or not, here is what happened.
As you know, Willie's been working very, very hard to great effect, and I just want to recognize some other folks that are running from for office at this time and working hard as well. We have Joe Leone running for city council.
Yay, Joe Leone, yay.
Debbie Quinn is here. She's running for city council.
My mailman's here.
Deb, where are you? Jack Cronin's here. Jack, you still here?
My third grade teacher's in the back.
Jennifer Canaan is still here. I
love Jennifer.
Joyce Campione is still here, I believe.
Yay!
Working hard. Bob Sheehan's here, running for housing. Jerry Ann Battelle for school committee. I know she's still here. I just saw her.
Yeah, please vote for her.
Evan Chasen, I think he's still here.
Is there any way you can fast forward through all the niceties of all of this? My mailman, my babysitter.
Gary Marcou, are you still here?
Oh, please. Yeah, don't vote for that clown. Gary Marcou.
I have the mayor's glasses, so I apologize. They're a bit dirty. Hold on.
Marcia and Adrian.
Barbara and Tom Grondine here.
Oh, yay. Barbara and Tom. I should have cut this, I realized.
George, I know you're still here. I saw you, George Kazandian.
Yeah.
And Bob Rovo's here. I saw him earlier. He's on his third meal.
Right. Keep the door. That's who wasn't
Ken's
there.
Ken's here, Ken Henrik.
Yeah.
Superintendent Gene Witten is still here.
Oh, come on, Linda. She named every single person in the room. They all know who they are.
Bob Vogler, did I mention Bob?
Oh, yeah, he's here.
I mentioned Bob. Now. Okay, Bob, you owe me.
This is grueling.
Running for Charter Commission.
Ronnie Marson here is running for Charter.
That sounds
Ron,
like the mayor.
Yeah, that was the mayor letting her know that there was some one other person in the room that she didn't mention.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing about Methuen, you know, we'll never lack for excitement and we'll never lack for candidates. And that's always a good thing. And I just want to make a couple comments here before I bring the mayor up. Can take his dirty glasses off.
Thank
you can have those.
Thank you
very much. I'm in the process of drafting a letter to send out to some of the voters in Methuen, and
I was looking actually at the Valley Patriot, the article. If some of you did not avail yourself of that opportunity, you should. It provides a, I don't know what, 25-page Manzi summary of his accomplishments, on and on and on. And I receive that every day, but I just double-checked it to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things, and the reason for my support of the mayor, and the reason that we all need to get out hard and work for his re-election. When you look at the new business that has come into the community since Mayor Manzi has been the leader of our city, it's absolutely phenomenal, just phenomenal. And, you know, our community has the lowest tax rate around here in the Merrimack Valley to comparable communities, and we owe a lot of that because of the business that has been brought into the community over the last couple of years. And you know, and I know very well, that this is not the best of times to be bringing business to community, but it's been done, and it's been done because of a lot of hard work. And what preceded that was a master plan that made that possible. This is what you have to do in municipal government. You have to approach this in a very, very thoughtful, a very experienced manner, and that's what the mayor has done. And working with him at the state level, I won't tell you that it's easy. I won't tell you that it's always friendly. I will tell you, though, that I do know that I am able to work with him on a daily basis and a weekly basis to agree on what the priorities should be for Methuen at the State House. And I think it's been a very productive working relationship with the high school and with bringing business into the community. That has to continue next year. I can tell you is going to be more challenging than this year. And we need someone on deck who has the experience, who's proven through his leadership, through many crises that we've had, both in the city and funding at the state level. We need him to stay in office because it's going to be a bumpy road, and he's proven that he can handle that bumpy road, and that Methuen will end up where it is right now in better better condition than most communities in the Commonwealth. So with that, I will turn it over to you.
Well, thank you.
I know, pause that for 1 second. All right, so now she turns the microphone over to Billy Manzi. He's the guest of honor, right? He's the guy that everybody is there to see. And she has done this great introduction, and he's the best, and we love him, and we need him. And she hands him the microphone, and guess what he does? Instead of giving his speech, he introduces someone else. He's the guest of honor. And he introduces Willie Lantigua, the chief.
Listen, before I take the microphone, I know he's going to have to wrestle it out of my hands, but I am honored tonight to have William Lantigua from the City of Lawrence, who's going to be the next mayor of the City of Lawrence, come to my function.
The great city.
The great city of Lawrence, and it is a great city. It is a great city. And I would be deeply appreciative if my friend would say a few words. Thank you, William.
The opportunity, Mayor and Linda, for the kind words, but
yeah, it's a Mike Condon mic. There we go.
It's behaving the way I do after 7 o'clock and a long day campaigning. Yes, yeah. In state.
Yes, yeah.
But it's back on. See,
go.
I learned on and off, up and down. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Linda. If any of you ever is hosting a fundraiser and you're running for office, introduce everybody, have somebody speak, but never give the microphone to somebody else who's also running. That's a mistake. Because if I leap through that door in a few minutes, which I'm going to do that soon, sir, because I have another activity, and I don't take this opportunity, I will not forgive myself. So, but first is you. You know, you're the man of the hour. I echo everything that Linda said in a more serious note, and I round it up this way. Billy Manzi is a hell of a guy. He not only works hard for the people of Methuen, he cares about the whole valley, and I can testify to that. Linda talked about the tax rate and all that, which is something I've been careful not to talk too much about it because I could get in trouble. But the people of Methuen are very blessed to have you, and I know they're going to have you for a long, long time. And you know, I'm not going to say how long because there are a couple of people here that they're hoping that for too long.
Yes.
So it's a secret.
Yeah.
I would say that, as you know, we share somewhat the Arlington district, and, you know, just by coincidence, a lot of people that look like me live in that area. So I'm there to do all that I can to make sure that you are reelected. I am running for mayor. I'm not here campaigning. I'm here supporting my good friend. So I'm not going to ask for anything. I don't want you to give me anything. I really said, Willie, it might be good if you go, because some of those people must start already.
Yeah.
So maybe that's unfair.
Yeah.
But in a serious note, I wish you the best. I know we're going to continue working together in one capacity or another, but I'm pretty sure that you will be reelected. If I was going to bet, I'll bet kind of even on me, but I'll give the ad to you. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Wow. So, guys, Willie Lantigua, the chief, won't take a microphone in Lawrence, won't debate in Lawrence, but he's in Methuen, and not only is he endorsing Billy Manzi, but it seems like there's some kind of mutual endorsement thing going on there. What are your thoughts about that in general, and B, do you think it makes any difference in Lawrence at all that he's in Methuen campaigning for Billy Manzi and Billy's helping him?
Well, I'm wondering if Billy's going to come to Lawrence and campaign for Willie.
Campaign for Willie. Well, he has been to Lawrence to Willie Lantigua events. And remember when he was on the show last week, yeah. I asked him about that very thing when he called in. And I think he kind of lied to us at the time, saying, I'm not getting involved in the Lawrence elections. I'm not getting involved in Lawrence politics. And then a couple days later, what was that, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, so it was four days later, this is what was occurring.
Well, what do you think? What do you think Mayor Manzi's purpose for having Willie speak? I mean, do you think it'll help him? Do you think it'll help get more Hispanic votes?
I think it's a wash. I don't think it helps him or hurts him in Methuen. I think it certainly says an awful lot in Lawrence about Willie being willing to take a microphone in Methuen, but not in Lawrence. But Oki, what do you think?
Well, a couple things. If you look at the demographics of Methuen, there are more and more Latinos moving in. So, you know, this is probably some sort of sop to the Latino community. You know, by bringing in Willie Lantigua, you know, Manzi can show that he has some sensitivity to the Latino community.
Right, right.
You know, the typical political pandering that goes on in our world. And but secondly, it shows the lack of respect maybe that Representative Lantigua has for the usual Lawrence voter by shunning any type of public forum in Lawrence, yet he'll throw a sop to his pal Billy Manzi and go over to Methuen. So there's a certain slap in the face, if you will, to the Lawrence voter that continues day after day, where he refuses to participate in any type of political discourse of a public nature.
Okay, why do you think he refuses to do that in Lawrence? Is he playing the front runner game here?
No, I just think there's a certain style of campaigning that he does, and he's not changing. He's not going to change. If I recollect correctly, he never engaged in any type of forums or debates in the past. And I think he feels that he can be successful doing what he's doing, going to bodegas, going to bars, going to community meetings, going to various other neighborhood groups.
Backyard barbecues,
you know, doing sure. it on a more personal level. That's more, and I think if you talk to the Dominicans who are here, they will tell you that's a style of campaigning that is more in tune with what goes on in the Dominican Republic. And that's what is occurring here. It's not the usual Anglo-style type of campaigning that you see. And I think when you look at, you know, Devers tried to do this 4 years ago, the same style of campaigning, and it didn't necessarily work out for him for a number of reasons. But if that's what Willie feels comfortable doing, that's what he's going to continue to do. And
it may work.
And it may work.
Yeah.
It certainly worked for him in the preliminary.
Yeah, 1 out of 10, though. I think the numbers translate differently when it's 1 of 2, don't you?
I do. And as I said earlier in the morning, Abdu is doing a lot on the north side of the river where you have the higher concentration of Latino voters. That's not to say there's not a lot of Latinos in South Lawrence. There are. But the higher concentration are in the districts A through D. And Abdu's doing a lot over there, working with the various groups in the various districts to get his name out there, get his message out there. I don't see anything, conversely, I don't see anything from Representative Lantigua working the traditional Anglo scene, if you will, to try to cut into the ABDU numbers there.
Well, so being 50% of the electorate, or at least 40% of the electorate, that might not be a good strategy, winning strategy for.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers, Latino numbers are about 60-40
okay.
to the Anglos, but in a voting situation,
yeah.
it is close to 50-50. So, right. You know, Representative Lantigua obviously is either going to grow enormously, the Latino yeah. turnout in his favor,
right.
or he's going to have to eat into the Anglo numbers somehow, and. You know, as we like to say, Election Day will prove, you know, the taste of the pudding, what's going to work here. But, you know, to Abdu's credit, he is not sitting back and just playing an Anglo card and hoping to get the Anglo numbers up to the point where they swamp the Latino numbers. I think there's an enthusiasm in the Latino community that you didn't necessarily see 4 years ago. It's even more than what you saw 8 years ago when you had Isabel Melendez running as a finalist. For mayor, and I think when you look at the numbers in terms of who's running for the city council races, there's an enthusiasm there on the Latino side that could potentially push Lantigua forward.
Is there an enthusiasm, though, on the Puerto Rican side for Willie Lantigua?
Well, as Tommy rightfully points out, it's unfortunately yeah. you have to get into you know Puerto Rican, Dominican, Guatemalan, Peruvian.
We've already said Latino, so that's
we've already said Latino, yeah. and we've already said you know through history we've talked about Italians and the yeah. Irish and the Poles and yeah. everything else, and so it does come down to basic elements like that. But I can tell you that you know people educated Dominicans, people who've spent time are homeowners and are they have both feet in this community. It's not they're not straddling this country and the Dominican homeland. They have both feet here. They're raising their families here. They've purchased homes. They're educated. They've got well-paying jobs. You know, they've put some thought into this. And I think if you were to go out in the street and talk to them, they would be expressing disappointment in the fact that Mr. Lantigua is not discussing the types of things that are important to our community, that it's this stealth candidacy, if you will. And, you know, whether they go with Abdu or not, that's clearly up to them. But at least with Abdu, you're getting some public participation in terms of what he's for and what he's not. And you may agree with him or disagree with him, but he's at least putting out positions out there.
And he's on the record, right?
He's on the record. The newspapers, on the record, on the radio.
And he filled out his campaign finances and turned them in.
And from my understanding is he was able to register about 2,000 white people from Andover and North Andover to counter anything that Mr. Lantigua has been doing. Well, this, of course, is according to Latino radio.
Spanish language radio, yeah. They do that all the time.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, it's the white people who are going to be cheating to steal the votes away from them, apparently.
But I find it interesting, you know, if you listen to Spanish radio this time around and you listen to some of the political leaders in the Latino community, there's a level of emotion and there's a level of, I don't know.
Excitement?
I wouldn't even say this. It's just nastiness towards Abdu, towards Anglos in general, that it makes you wonder what happens election night if Abdu squeaks out the election. If he wins by 10 votes, 1,000 votes, 2,000 votes, regardless of the number, it makes you wonder how certain members of the Latino community who are on radio pushing these buttons constantly, these emotional buttons, these hatred buttons, it makes you wonder what the response is going to be like to a Abdu victory come November. And, you know, just look at some of the nastiness that went on a couple years back on the NECO proposal for the in-town mall. You had several mayoral candidates from this time around. You had people in the community attacking NECO as some sort of racist group.
You mean NECO is Northern Essex Community
Northern
College.
Essex Community College. Yeah. They had an interest in getting the in-town mall. And you had, you know, this groundswell of Latino leaders basically labeling anyone and anything related to NECO as some sort of racist cabal. And you had Latinos who were attending NECO in Lawrence. You had Latinos who teach there speaking up saying, you know, this is a great opportunity to expand educational opportunities in the city. These are the types of things, professional development, educational development, that the Latino community, that the Anglo community needs, for crying out loud. You know, everyone needs something beyond a high school education if they're going to be successful in this day and age. And you had this clash between educators and students versus certain Latino leaders. And it just makes you wonder what's going on out there. And this is, it's an untold story, because in Anglo world, you really don't get this type of exposure to what's going on in Latin radio and some of the vindictive that's out there And it'll be interesting to see what does happen come post-election.
We have to take a quick break, 978-454-4980. If you want to get in on the fun from the Central District debate, if you want to talk about the Lawrence Mayor's race, the Lawrence Council race, all kinds of things to get to. When we come back from the break, we'll have Sean Hansen's going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Devils this week. And then we're going to play the interview I did with Billy Manzi after that whole debacle of Willie Lantigua interviewing him. I had to ask him. I said, Mayor, you were on the show 4 days ago and you said you were staying out of it. It seemed like you kind of lied. And we'll see what he had to say about that when we come back. 978-454-4980 on the Paying Attention Radio program. Everybody gets it.
Okay, this is Bill Manzi, and you are listening to the Paying Attention Radio program. And now back to Sharon Pollard's secret love interest, Tom Duggan.
We were gonna go. We were gonna go to Billy Manzi, who's on the line, but Sean Hansen's going to do our Lowell Devils report. Then we're going to get Billy Manzi on. I think he's going to try and get us not to play that tape. We'll see how successful he is in that. Sean Hansen with our Lowell Devils report here on the Paying Attention Radio program.
Good afternoon, Merrimack Valley. You are listening to the Valley Patriots Sports Flash with Sean Hansen. This past week, the Lowell Devils lost to the Worcester Shark 4-3. They beat the Portland Pirates the day after 4-0. And last night, they lost to the Bruins 4-2. The Lowell Devils were able to match the high-powered special teams unit of Providence, but it was too even. Strength goals for the Bruins that proved to be the difference in a 4-2 decision on Friday night at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Miko paced the Bruins for the power play goal and two assists while his team went 2-for-9 on a man advantage. It was Lithuan who broke up the scoreless play 6:45 on the second period of the Providence fourth power play of the game. Jeff Penner's point shot deflected to the far circle on Lithuan, who fired it past a sliding Mike McKenna. The goal ended McKenna's shutout streak at 86-45, setting the team record to the longest debut without allowing a goal in team history. Providence added its 2-lead 3 minutes later when Lithuan missed the mark with his shot from the near side when Trent Whitfield swept it in two. The Devils got to answer back on the 5-4 early in the third. Tyler Eckford would get his... All right, sorry, guys.
Right.
It was 4-2. The Devils won.
All right, the Devils won. Yay!
Tune in next week. I'll learn how to read.
All right, very good. Maybe what we'll do is we'll have you tape it, and then we can pull out like all the little pauses in between. We can run it together and make it sound a little better until
you
get... All right.
We're going to practice the last names, too.
Yeah, but you can't do it, be a sports reporter if you can't get the last names. It's something you got to practice.
Igor Shalalimsky.
But he's trying, though, and we're gonna. I guarantee you, by the time the season's over, we're going to have him become a professional sports broadcaster.
I called Providence today, and no one answered.
No one answered. Yeah. That's because they're at a Willie Lantigua event. He's actually endorsing the mayor of Providence today.
Oh.
Providence, Rhode Island, 978-454-4980. Now, on the line is Methuen Mayor Bill Manzi, who really got the snot beat out of him during this debate of the Methuen West District Councils. I don't know if that's what he wants to talk about or if it's his Willie Lantigua thing, but, oh, Mr. Mayor, are you there?
I am here. What are you spewing today? We had somebody spewing earlier, but I think Jack Cronin had that right. So let's Jack's closing statement pretty much sum that up.
Now, tell me what he was right about for those just joining us.
Jack was right about one candidate in the Central District simply being a Joe Solomon front. I think that's what he said. That's correct. And I think we can leave it at that.
All right. Well, very good. Is there anything else? Do you want to talk at all about this endorsement?
What are you talking about? What is this nonsense about me not telling the truth?
Oh, yeah, you want to play that clip? Well, actually, we'll just ask you live. So you were on last week, and I asked you, I said, what's the story with you and Lantigua? You're at a Lantigua event. You spoke. That wasn't an endorsement, was it? And you went, no, I'm just staying out of Lawrence Paul.
Listen, you didn't seem to ask me the same question when I was at a Dave Abdu event.
I haven't seen you at a Dave Abbey event in almost a year.
Then, and I just wonder why. Why didn't you ask me when I was at a Dave event?
Because you didn't speak at that event.
I wasn't invited to speak.
So if Dave Abbey
invites
you... I
wasn't invited to speak, Tom. But even the fact that I was at a Dave Abbey event... never seems to make the airwaves.
Well, that's not true.
We did talk about it.
No, we did talk about it.
Well, I don't understand why.
We did talk about it. But I guess what I'm wondering is, now you've been endorsed by Willie Lantigua, the chief. How does that help in Methuen?
I think the issue here that you seem to miss, and I think you miss it deliberately, which is unfortunate.
No, come on.
Is I've said to you that Willie Lantigua and I have worked together for a long time. This isn't a matter of seeking endorsements or trying to play to a certain demographic. Willie Lantigua and I have worked together for a long time. Willie Lantigua is my friend, and he has been my friend, and he will continue to be my friend. He simply came up and did a nice thing, but people want to make more out of that than there is.
Can I ask a question?
And unfortunately, it doesn't have any legs, particularly in Methuen, and I don't think it has any legs in Lawrence either.
I think I agree with you.
Nonsense.
I agree with you on the first one, but I think it does. I think it is starting to resonate in Lawrence, especially given that your friend, your fling, Willie, is not going to debate or take a microphone in Lawrence.
But that's for the Lawrence voters to decide, and that's between Willie, Dave, and the voters of Lawrence.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the city of Methuen or his attendance at a fundraiser for somebody that he's worked with for a number of years. I mean, Willie Lantigua has been in Methuen, Tom. You know when Willie Lantigua was in Methuen, Tom? Willie Lantigua was in Methuen during the great floods when Lawrence families were displaced and were put up in Methuen. And when the Red Cross talked about closing the shelter before adequate facilities had been secured for Lawrence families, William Lantigua was in Methuen.
And who gave him credit for that on the front page?
There, Tom. Yes. And you were there at that. You were there when William was there. So I've worked with this man. This is not about getting the mayor of Methuen involved in Lawrence politics. Right. It's just some cheap shots.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. This is Paul. Just a quick question. You said that this meeting had nothing to do with endorsements, and I was wondering then what you meant when you introduced him as the next mayor of Lawrence.
This is a friend, somebody that was good enough to come to my fundraiser, and again... You know, we've had other electeds that have gone to his functions and come to mine, and nobody goes out and talks about and highlights it like you have, that there was a formal endorsement made. There was no formal endorsement. So you can take the verbiage and pass it any way you want, but you're trying to...
Hold on, Billy, though.
Two things here. First off, you ought to be honest about the fact that you're a partisan for one campaign in Lawrence, and that's fine, but say it.
Hold on, because I don't think that you're either not being honest with us, or you're just seeing it in a way that nobody else possibly could. When someone gets up to a microphone and says, "I support this man," he doesn't have to use the word endorsement. That's an endorsement.
Then call it that. We didn't agree, Representative Lantigua and myself, to go out and trade endorsements. As I said, I've been to Dave Abdu's fundraiser. I wrote him a check. I'm on his campaign finance report. So what you're spewing here, and it is spewing, is more nonsense. And you're trying to interject me into a Lawrence mayor's race.
Well, you were there,
and
right? It was your event.
You can have all the fun with it that you want.
But you were there. It was your event. And he did say,
"I'm supporting." He was good enough to come. And when he came, I invited him to speak.
Right, and I'm not saying that you did anything wrong.
To say a few nice words about me, Tom.
I'm not saying that.
I'm delighted that he did it. And if he came
tomorrow, I feel
like
I'm talking to Fadi Shaheen.
I would let him speak again.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that you did anything wrong. What I am saying is he doesn't have to use the word.
To say that I lied is like a little bit disingenuous.
You're saying that there's no formal endorsement. He got up and said he supports you. What do you call that?
Look, you call it what you want. If you would choose to call it an endorsement, fine. But this is not, I'm not running away from the fact that he said that nice things about me, and he said he thought I would win the race.
Right,
I'm not running away from that. That's great. You call it what you want, but we did not choose to go and endorse each other at each other's fundraisers. This guy has worked with me for a number of years. I like William Lentigua.
I do, too.
He works hard.
I do, too. I think he's a great state rep.
This is about you trying to make it something more than it is.
Okay.
That's what it's about. It's about you doing this.
Oh, it's me.
It's not about me and Willie Lentigua.
It's me.
Absolutely.
All right. And the Tribune, it's that's me, too?
Pardon me?
The Tribune, they wrote a story about this. Is that me, too?
The Tribune wrote a story about it. I thought it was a fair story. He came to my fundraiser. He spoke.
All right.
I don't know where the problem is. As I said, I've been to a Dave Abdu's kickoff. I was there. I wrote him a check.
15 seconds.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for calling, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All right. Very good. He got up and he said, I support Billy Manzi. I don't know how you say that's not an endorsement. And I'm not lying about anything. I'm just telling you what happened. And we played the clip. You heard what he said.
The next mayor.
Bob Okanowski, thank you very much for being here. Paul Morano, also thanks for being here. I wish we had another hour just so Billy could beat on me more on the air because that's fun. We'll have this podcasted as quick as humanly possible for all the people who missed any of it. We'll see you next week. Billy Manzi will be here with Al DiNuccio. Hopefully he'll beat me up more. We'll have the West Council debate, and we'll talk a little more about Lawrence. ValleyPatriot.com. Thank you so much.